Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Friday and the weekend, baby. Yep, because as we head into December, which is fucking next week.
It's Monday.
I know. Scary, right?
Monday is basically Christmas.
One day is one day, but Monday is December.
You know, they say December is long and January is long.
No, I don't think December is nearly long enough. I always find this time of year rushes past. I know we've had this conversation a million times. There are probably already people lining up in the comments to say how stupid it is that we're talking about this. But your perception of time changes, right?
It does, as you get older, definitely.
When you're busy and you have a million things going on and you have no moment's respite and you're tired and you're working your backside off, time just flies. When you are relaxed and happy, it also feels like it's going too fast. And then the in-between bits where it's boring, you're like, oh, come on, get to this day. Or you look forward to
like
things.
Like long winters.
Like when you're a kid and you can't wait for Christmas, for example. Then it just feels like the rest of that month just drags.
Like school or
war. Yeah, correct. So how are you, Ass? What's happening?
All good, all good. I after I left here last Friday.
Yes.
I forgot to mention that I was going on a little course that day.
What was that?
It was the Alan Carr course.
Alan Carr is who?
Well, he's a comedian, but if you spell it slightly differently, he's a stop smoking guy.
Ah, which one did you go to? The stop smoking guy or the comedian guy?
The comedian, and we smoked a big fat pack of cigarettes. No, I'm joking.
Wow, that's confusing. Holy fuck, no one knows now what the hell's going on. Is Leanne talking about?
I did the course. The Alan Carr course, he's dead, but his course lives on.
Oh, that's impressive.
Worldwide courses continue in his name.
What do they do?
To stop smoking.
Oh, but do you still smoke?
No. I had my last cigarette on Friday, last week.
Oh, so now you're a non-smoker. Look how proudly she said that. She's four or five days, and she's so proud of it.
7 days, I've been counting.
Ah, please. You won't go back?
No.
Okay. What finally made you decide to stop?
The Alan Carr course.
No, man. What made you decide to go on the course?
That you've got to book like 2 months in advance.
I mean, I only see you on the show, so
it costs a lot of money.
I forgot that you even smoked.
Yeah. Costs thousands, but if you are with Discovery, I don't know about other medical aids, you only pay under $1,000. It's money back guarantee.
Right.
And it's all in the teaching. So it's a 6-hour course. For 6 hours, you smoke.
Oh, wow.
It's online, but you're with other people. Your cameras are on.
Yeah.
Really awkward smoking a cigarette in front of a camera on a computer.
Did you
in front
feel
of
like,
people you've just met.
Yeah, you feel like Sharon Stone in that Basic Instinct movie.
Well, I hope not, because there were a few creeps on there, too.
Really? Mm. Okay, so hang on. It's an online thing.
Yeah.
And
there is a dude.
You all have
South
to,
African.
What? Hi, my name is Leanne. And
You don't introduce yourself.
That.
He knows who you are because you've submitted forms before. It's an approach that is different to anything else out there.
Mm-hmm.
He talks to you and you talk about what each cigarette means to you. You talk about the facts. It's very factual based about nicotine addiction.
Okay.
So there were two vapors on there in our group of about 8.
Yeah.
Two vapors, one snuff addict.
Oh, right.
And then the rest of us were smokers, cigarette smokers.
Well, you smokers, the people you used to be a part of a group with, are dying out there. It seems to me like they're less and less. The kids don't like it.
Fewer and fewer.
Sorry, correct. I always get that wrong.
I still get it wrong.
I haven't touched a vape this week because I woke up on Monday morning with like a really sore throat. And I thought, oh, no, here we go. It's like a cold or flu or whatever. And it was. It was just that. But because of that, I didn't feel like, smoke anywhere near me. So I just stopped. And I don't know if I'll go back. We'll see.
Well, this is all about that first bit of nicotine that you have.
Yeah.
Which for me was before I was 10.
Well, I hate to spoil it for you, But there are scientists now who are saying that a certain amount of nicotine is actually healthy.
Oh, God, no.
But no. But you can take it in pill form, or there are all kinds of supplements that you can have. Oh, no, you've had enough for two lifetimes.
Yeah.
So no more nicotine for Leanne. All right, well, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm done.
And you don't have any of the normal hankering for the stuff?
Massive.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Huge.
But I'm going to say this guy isn't Jesus. He can't just wish it away.
He's not Jesus.
But what do you have to do afterwards? Is there a...
You count down to your last cigarette after you've had... this is the difference. That was a weird sound.
I heard that. Funnily enough, we need more of that sound in the show. That's what everybody's saying in the comments. Please,
make a reel out of that.
Yeah.
When you're giving up smoking, it's usually I'm done with this. I'm not going to do it again.
I'm done with this.
Yeah. You don't speak about it for 6 hours before you do it, do you?
No.
And think about every drag that you're having of each.
Oh, is that what they make you do?
Yes. You speak about it. Think about it. Speak it. You drill into it hard for 6 hours. And you realize that it's only the first two drags of that cigarette that are good because they're hitting that nicotine itch. The rest is shit. It's actually shit.
It's completely shit. I remember as a kid, because both my parents smoke.
Yes. Your mom used to put her cigarettes out on you.
No, she did that once. I don't want anyone to think I was abused. No, we were behaving very badly on a trip somewhere, and she said, I'll fucking burn you with my ciggy. She threatened to. When we were kids, the worst job of all the jobs, you'd rather clean up dog shit or whatever.
Yes.
The worst job is?
Ashtrays.
Emptying ashtrays. That smell, you know, now I walk past one of these municipal rubbish bins and I just, bleh. Mm. And even if you smell any bin that's had ash plus something wet put in it, it's the most appalling smell.
It's actually not the ash that stinks.
Whatever.
It's the stompy.
Oh. And you know, there are people.
Especially when it gets wet with bin juice.
And I get, And there are homeless people and serious addicts who like prowl the streets picking up other people's old stompies and trying to smoke that last little bit out of it.
Mm.
Imagine how rancid that is.
Yeah.
Also, it's just gross. I mean, like, you know, smokers, their towels smell, their hands smell. It's revolting. And if you become old and smelly, because ultimately that's where everybody goes, it just makes you so unattractive.
So you asked me what made me want to stop.
Mm.
And it was actually getting a little bit of zest for life back. Because, let's be honest.
Well, you got a new hip.
When you're not happy, you don't care about the fact that you're killing yourself.
Sure, of course. Because it's a coping mechanism. You know? Yeah.
And then, just getting through some really hard shit and coming out the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother saying to me, I can't do the rest of life without you. I need you with me.
That's nice.
So I need you to do this.
Okay, well that, I mean, listen, whatever your motivation is, it might be a positive one or a negative one. I mean, it does sound like a good idea. And so far, obviously, none of these things are easy. Otherwise, people would just do them like that, right? But so far, so good.
Yeah.
All right, well done to you.
Thank you.
I went somewhere interesting last weekend. I went after the show to a place it's right on the border with Lesotho, with some friends, and there was a military festival or a fair, whatever.
Ooh,
it was.
That's up your alley.
Yeah. At this huge farm called Sandstone, which I didn't even know existed until I was there. And they had tanks. Check that out. They had tanks they had old military vehicles. They had planes, tiger moths, and helicopters. There's a Mark I Land Rover.
Sky.
Isn't that the – okay, fine, the
How
sky.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the country. And I also have to give props to the Eastern Free State. You know, we're often rude on this show about parts of South Africa that we maybe don't know so well or that are just generally detestable. But – the Eastern Free State is magnificent.
Okay, it's the border of Lesotho and you were in the Free State.
I mean, I've never been. I know people will be horrified to know this because I talk about the, you know, these places all the time, but I've never been to Clarence before.
Oh, wow.
Or Vriesburg. Not that I'd necessarily want to go to Vriesburg again.
Well, look, but it's a good time of year to go to those places. You don't want to do it in 6 months' time.
No, when it's cold. But the Eastern Free State is magnificent. I mean, you've got those beautiful geological outcroppings and mountain ranges. I don't know if you can call them mountain ranges or hills, but they are like nothing I've ever seen anywhere else. It's almost alien, that landscape. And everything is, as you saw from those pictures, green, and the sky is beautifully blue, and the weather is nice and hot. So I just had the most terrific time. And I met loads of military veterans.
Wow. Who would have arranged this thing?
So there's a guy called Yandre Duplessis who put the whole thing together. He's in his 20s, and this guy made all of it happen. He got the helicopters, the planes, the tanks, the trucks, the everything. It was phenomenal. And on this farm, there's a railway track because apparently the farmer needed to export his whatever it is he grows there faster, and the trucks took too long and they fucked up his roads. So he just built a railway. You know, this is the industriousness and the pioneering industriousness and pioneering spirit of what makes South Africans so great is you a boer maak 'n plan, right? If you haven't got it, just build it.
Yeah.
And this guy built this railway there. So there were these trains, and he's that whoever it is who started that museum at Sandstone deserves massive credit too. But they've got a museum of railway stuff, old military vehicles. I mean, it's the perfect place to have something like this.
Mm.
And there were people, you know, kind of – show the video. I put a little music on here to just dramatize it a bit. But imagine this. Okay, you're on a train with a whole lot of other people. And then this is what you see outside your window. It's cool enough being on the train. In the Free State of all places. And then you see this. Not a movie. That's cool.
That is just amazing.
It's wild, right? And I looked outside and I'm like, this is easily one of the coolest things.
That, like, I actually have tears in my eyes. Those lovely, horses were so happy.
Yeah, the horses.
They're like, this is what we want to do every day, guys.
How's that steam locomotive tractor? I mean, it looks like something from
unbelievable
Hollywood,
it's
right?
Crazy.
Or from, as it is, 110, 120 years ago. That actually still works. And I just have such love and respect for people who look after things and people who fix things like that and who keep them looking good and operable so that the rest of us can see them.
Yeah.
It's just phenomenal. So
it's a certain kind of
amazing
respect. It's something that my dad always had. Like he kept his army sleeping bag in perfect order.
Yeah.
His army. It was a knife, fork, and spoon, and I ended up taking them to felt school and lost one.
Oh, no.
I've regretted it my whole life. But it's like first pencil tin. Was it pencil case tin?
Yeah, you know, now everything is with consumer culture and the fact that we can, everything's made in China, and you can just replace it at the drop of a hat. So people don't really respect and look after things like they might have back in the day because you could just get another one, and it's cheap. Because it is. We always think, oh, well, the cost of living is so high and it's too expensive. And that's all true. Obviously, I'm not going to deny people's real experience. But the fact is that you have access to a billion things that they just couldn't have dreamed of back in those days. And if you do find yourself in possession of something rare and historical and interesting to other people, like, looking after it is a duty, right?
Mm. Yeah, it's a whole thing. I mean, I'm sure you're still upset about the Louvre and...
Oh, Christ. Have they found those guys?
They
did arrest two
know.
People I saw.
Oh.
I'm still upset about it, yeah.
But yeah, it's that mindset. It's a special kind of respect.
Yeah, I love... And again, you know, just being away, one of my friends is also a big history fan And he and I were just talking about this stuff. And if you don't read history books, everything just seems so random and unfair and crazy and unpredictable.
Until you put it into context. And,
you know, just, yeah, you've got to understand the story of humans. And something I've spent an inordinate amount of time in the last couple of months doing is I've been going through kind of family archives and records and looking at old papers of my grandparents and all those kinds of things, just sorting it out. Because for whatever reason, I don't think my brother and sister are very interested in it.
Mm.
But for all I know, my brother's kids might be one day, and then it's got to be in order, right? So it's going to make sense to them. And you'd be surprised how much you lose in like a generation because people don't tell you who, you know, Aunt Mabel was. And then Aunt Mabel comes up for the next generation. I don't know who that is.
But also people...
Because they don't listen and they don't talk. And they also don't tell those stories because they immediately assume, well, you know, the kids would be bored with it. But they're not.
You know, there's small things like, and again, going through my dad's things over the last year, scrapbooks of newspaper clippings. People don't do that anymore.
No, it's amazing. You got those?
And just his whole history of cycling. He kept a...
Oh, no, that's terrible.
Another... He kept another, like, almost scrapbook-type book, which was his primary school project. And it's a novel of images.
Yeah.
And hand-drawn illustrations that tell
them?
A story. I mean, we've got to preserve that stuff and frame it. And but, yes, and then there are things like he kept clippings of the family members who were also sports people. Like, for instance, you know, my cousin, the surgeon, who was a gymnast.
Yes.
And he kept all of her newspaper clippings, you know.
Wow.
South African gymnast, handpicked to train in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when that person's gone that you realize, because when I handed this to her, she was like, I didn't know your dad was that part of me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
There's so much emotion attached to the preservation of stuff.
Well, also people don't say things, right? So you only find out after they've gone what they actually might have thought. I mean, you find people's memoirs and their diaries being published these days, and it leads to lots of controversy. I think there's something so cool about like writing the true story of your life and only having it published once you're dead. I think there's something just very exciting for everyone else about that. So. All right, Gareth is definitely Danish. He comes from Lego Man stock, says Slippery Pickle. Yeah, that's because of the Lego Man hair that Gord has credited me with all along.
Mm-hmm.
I did one of those cuck expensive genetic tests, and they basically told me I'm white, says Hermine. How boring, Hermine. Nothing about what kind of white, because white isn't just one thing, you know?
So, interestingly, my brother and cousin have done the test. I haven't yet.
Oh, yeah? What did they discover about you?
I have Congolese in me.
Wow.
I'm coming from the Congo.
Really?
Yes.
Wiggy wub 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 wub. I knew it when I watched that clip again the other day and I thought, you did that way too easily. So how much Congolese do you have in you?
I don't know. It was
is it
like
a tiny percentage?
It was like, I think below 10, but quite high up.
Wow, Leanne. Jesus.
But it's basically Viking and Congolese.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is like 67% Scandinavian,
which
is perfect because when I marry that Norwegian pole vaulter.
Sure, and when I become Miss South Africa.
Yeah, of course, because you're entering Miss South Africa. By the way, Leanne's going to tell us about Miss Universe.
Oh, my gosh.
What a disaster, right?
So much happened.
Okay, I didn't even know this was happening. So I have no idea. I know who watches beauty pageants anymore?
No, I only saw it because of the drama.
All right, so... All I know, Leanne, all I know with no – I'm not even inquisitive or curious about Miss Universe, but apparently there's a lot of like saucy stuff to tell. I only know about this one thing where Miss Jamaica like fell off the stage.
Oh, is that the one you know?
That's all I know about. I don't know anything else. But, you know, do tell.
So this is the list. This was in Thailand.
Is that where they held it?
Yes, Miss Universe. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So early in the competition, Miss Universe Thailand launched a top 10 special dinner and talk show with Queen Victoria and Mr. Nawat.
Jesus, who are they?
The event campaign had encouraged netizens to vote for Miss Universe through Facebook and Instagram.
Uh-huh.
Afterwards, this was slammed because this event was not authorized. So minor blip, but that's how it starts. Miss Universe Thailand then defending the campaign.
Mr. Nawat and Queen Victoria. I want to know who they are.
Okay, then the controversy that I knew about,
yeah,
was when this Miss Universe Thailand national director, who's also got Nawat in his name, but it's his first name. It's
so much nepotism in that family.
Yeah. His Nawat Itsara Grisil.
Oh, him.
So he was, it's on video, it's all documented. He was addressing the room of all the Miss Universe entrants.
Okay.
And he called out Miss Universe Mexico, mm-hmm, Fatima Bosch, and called her a dumbhead.
Okay, well, first of all, let me tell you, whatever, now what? You can't call people a dumbhead. Because that's not even a good insult.
Yeah.
It means you've embarrassed yourself. You're the one who's dumb. So, Miss Mexico, if you're looking for a place to come and recuperate, maybe you're very stressed about this, I'm right here.
We're bringing in Miss Universe refugees.
Yeah. Those are the only kind of refugees I'm willing to help. Right, Miss Universe.
The good-looking ones.
So, any beautiful women from all over the world, and I know that there are many gentlemen's establishments that do this for girls on the regular, and I've got to say, they're the real humanitarians. Forget gift of the givers, all right? I appreciate the grand mavericks. Those are the places helping those war refugees from the Ukraine the most, all right? So I'm also now making myself available. If you are an attractive woman who's been abused by Nagawat from the whatever his
the
name
Thailand
is.
Board
the
of
Thailand Board
Miss Universe.
Of Beauty Queens or whatever. I'll make a spare room available. And you can come and rest and recuperate here. We've got lovely sunshine. I've decided I'm not going away in December. you know, we'll come to some arrangement. You can cook for me. I'll buy the ingredients. And then we'll be all right.
Mexican cuisine, something to be.
I do not mind Mexican cuisine, so I'm all in favor. See if you can find James. If you and Flex could just look for a picture of Miss Mexico at the Miss Universe, the dumbhead.
Fatima Bosch.
Fatima Bosch. Take a look at her.
Dumbhead.
Maybe I've offered too much here. We'll have to appraise the situation. There's nothing our audience love more than being able to judge a man or woman on his looks first thing on a Friday morning. So we're going to do that today. Exciting times. Yes?
So old Megan Nawat was restricted.
Why? Because she's a dumbhead?
Restricted participation in the rest of the pageant.
Because she's a dumbhead.
And then the president of the MUO, this whole organization, said, Nawat, you need to stop in a video. You need
All right. So this guy is
to stop.
This guy's out of control. Mr. Nawat, you got to – you – need to stop.
So obviously he'd been doing a lot of stuff.
Sounds like a dodgy bastard, all right?
Okay. Then, yes, Miss Universe Jamaica fell off the stage.
Yes.
She was rushed to hospital.
Oh, my God.
It's Dr. Gabrielle Gabby Henry. She fell off the stage during the evening gown portion.
Thank God she's a doctor.
She was carried out on a stretcher. Sorry.
This is such a great Miss Universe. I wish I'd paid more attention at the time. Okay.
So she had to. She was in ICU for 7 days. That was a big fucking fall.
What did she fall on?
Close monitoring.
No, I don't
near know. Near November the 25th, she was nearing discharge from the hospital.
She probably got one of those super bugs.
Wow.
All right. What else?
Anyway,
the most exciting Miss Universe pageant in years.
Then the judge. Then it says, in a shocking turn of events.
This is written by AI.
Two Miss Universe judges resigned ahead of the coronation.
Who was that? Simon Cowell and Sharon Osbourne?
No, it was a Lebanese-French musician by the name of Omar Hafouch.
I know. Yes, yes, I know Omar. Yeah.
He announced his resignation via Instagram, and also French football manager Claude Makélélé, due to personal reasons.
But very controversial. Let me tell you, if you're a judge and you resign, you better have reasons, and they don't seem to have disclosed their reasons. They say personal reasons. I don't buy personal reasons. If someone says to you, I wasn't at the office yesterday because of personal reasons, then you know there's something really terrible going on.
Would you prefer to hear sick?
Severely constipated, but they're too embarrassed to say it. Then personal reasons. Personal reasons. Or, you know, they've got bad gas, or their one eye is about to fall out. Or, what was the one that you used now as an excuse? Your grand died. But you don't want to say that. Yeah, so you say personal reasons. It's just, it makes people speculate. I've just got a word of advice for anyone who is like, yeah, they don't like sharing too much about their life. Because most of us are like that, frankly. And, you know, everything is on the internet these days. So everyone's always sharing it. If you decide to deliberately withhold information about something by saying, for example, personal reasons, that just makes people curious to scratch a little more.
Mm.
So if you
people
just say,
think you're lying immediately, I've said it before, I'm late to the meeting because I had constipation.
Yes.
I couldn't say get the turd out.
My balls were so itchy this morning. I was scratching and scratching and I lost track of time. If you say that, people would be so horrified, first of all, that you,
yes,
that you had this malady, and then they will, maybe some will sympathize with you, others will find it amusing, and they'll move on. Mm. If you say, you know, Denise, you haven't been here for like 6 weeks, where personal reasons, everyone goes, must be something wrong with her vagina.
Yeah, or she's just lying and she's lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Have you found Miss Mexico? Oh, show me. All right. Yes, baby. Yes, you dumbhead. You come to my house.
Wait, yes. There's more. There's more.
Don't you guys like her?
She looks like a Flex. Wax, Madame
Flex, Tussauds. What do you think? She's hot, man. What the hell are you talking about? Oh, fuck yes. Okay, that'll work.
That'll do,
James, big. What do you say? I have a wife. Oh, yeah. James, let me just stop this shit in its tracks. Do you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
I have a wife. Now, James.
Doesn't mean you've gone instantly
James has
blind.
A girlfriend. James has a girlfriend. Ben says it's his fiance. Is that true? Yeah. Okay, well, that's lovely. So he says bound to be. Congratulations.
But it doesn't mean you've gone blind and you've lost all judgment
exactly.
of beautiful people.
James, I think this is you imposing rules. I think your girlfriend is probably smart enough to know that when you say a Miss Universe, and the clue
the
is in –
the whole universe thinks
whole
she's beautiful.
There are aliens on Tree Eye Atlas that think that she's hot, all right? She is Miss Universe. It's not just Miss – let me tell you. Miss Universe is a different category. There are little Zoidbergs and things that are sitting on other planets clapping for Miss Mexico.
And wanking off as well.
Who knows what these sick aliens do? But James, it's okay to admit that a woman other than your girlfriend, stroke fiance in your case, is hot. Okay, so then don't. You're a cuck actor. Why would you pretend? You're the world's shittest actor. Look at James. You found
James has found her OnlyFans.
Yeah, suddenly I can see why your girlfriend suggests you don't do this.
He's
coming up with photo number 57 of Miss Mexico
practicing
from
his,
Miss Universe.
His new Mexican signature.
I'll tell you what, that girl walks into a room, everybody looks. She's very pretty. She's precisely what I'd expect a Miss Mexico to look like. Yeah. Well done to her. And if you get abused by that Mr. Tungawatu, his name
Megawatt.
Is, Megawatt, whatever he says to you, you just ignore him, all right? He's wrong. I'll look after you.
All right, do you want to hear what else happened?
Oh, God.
Miss Universe.
Is there more?
Yes, the president of the Miss Universe Selection Committee, who's a woman named Princess Camilla de Bourbon.
Oh, yeah, all right.
Delidue Sicily.
Yes, that's the Kingdom of Two Sicilies.
That's her full name. She dropped out of...
Just say it again, just for shits and giggles. And do the facial expressions like you
Princess
just said.
Princess Camilla de Bourbon Dea Due Sicily.
Yeah, people will watch that and go, shame, poor Leanne, she... had an aneurysm in her brain
it's
at exactly
happened.
That moment.
Yeah. It's finally
and,
happened.
And to think that she could have just carried on smoking.
Spell them. Don't be your name. I don't spell them.
You don't say no good spell. If you help me spell them.
Okay,
no, no,
okay. I'll call and get my happy spell them. Jesus.
Stop. All right, very good.
Oh, I love that.
That's your 14th cousin, three times removed from the Congo.
Mm.
All right, very exciting.
Okay, so who won?
I forgot. After all of this, people were so distracted by all this controversy. By the way, what happened with the Princess of Two Sicilies?
She dropped out of the pageant just days
before. She was
before,
like, I've had
and
it.
And she's the head, the president.
She's like, I've had it with you
committee.
Fucking amateurs. I am not doing this anymore. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who won?
Who did win? A crocodile.
Miss Mexico, Fatima Bosch.
Yeah, baby! Well, now that we've developed a relationship with her, thanks to you, Leanne, of course I was hoping for her to win the whole time. So were Flex and James. And James's girlfriend.
Oh, gosh.
And well then, done. Look at her. Oh, that's why she was wearing the crown in that first picture, James. Ha-ha! See, if I'd been paying
that's
attention.
It's not a good face photo of her.
No, and
she's
that's
an ugly crier.
And that is a terrible looking bouquet of flowers. It almost looks like it's
a creature.
Like a, yeah, some kind of sea monster.
She's All not right. a good crier. So you, when she comes to visit you, you'll need to keep her happy. Don't do
well,
her cry.
No, now that I know that she's won, I mean, isn't, what reason does she have to come to Pretoria? She's
oh,
got
gosh.
Bigger fish to fry. She's got to go and visit all those other planets because she's Miss Universe.
And then remember Omar Hafouch, who also...
Of course I remember Omar, yeah.
He was the judge, the singing judge.
Yes.
He said the vote was conducted by individuals who are not recognized by members of the official judging panel. He called her a fake Miss Universe.
Oh, my God.
I'm done with
you
this.
You know what, guys? That's just mean. And let me remind you that the integrity of the Miss Universe competition is something uppermost in all of our minds. There are children.
It must be upheld.
There are children who will not sleep tonight because they are concerned about the integrity of the voting process for Miss Universe. Are we kidding? Yep. First of all, there are 10 people on planet Earth who watch beauty pageants anymore.
They're the moms of the
moms, the contestants. No, look, that's some of them don't have moms, Leanne.
Because
they come from war-torn countries.
Sorry.
But
how presumptuous.
I would say that the judges who didn't resign definitely watched it.
Mm. To see themselves. And then that's it.
And you, I mean, thank God you paid attention to this. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known any of this. But otherwise, nobody else. And I know we said Miss Universe is a galaxy, in fact, a universal competition, and there are other planets involved there. It does seem to be fairly obviously dominated by humans, who are terrestrial Earth dwellers.
And they seem like they may be of the lowest kind.
So, I don't know. I wouldn't say so. Judging by those pictures of Miss Mexico, they got something going for them.
Well,
but
the organizers, at least.
The organizers sound like a shit show. And I got to tell you, people, get your act together. You are an embarrassment. You are destroying the faith we have in the institution of Miss Universe, something which is our lodestone. It is our marker on our way to truth and justice and light. And you, look at how you are ruining this.
It's our religion.
You're giving it to your pearls to swine, is what I say. How embarrassing. James is protecting his relationship. Leave him alone, says Judas. Point of order, that's a tiara, not a crown, Gareth. You weren't raised in a barn. It's a Miss Universe crown. who's keeping score here? The thing is probably filled with glass anyway. It's not gems.
You are crowned Miss Universe.
Yes. Yes. So it's a crown. They don't go, you're tiara'd Miss Universe, slippery fucking pickle. James, with a car like yours, your girlfriend is probably Tamperisa's slippery pickle. Full of nice
Wow, that was hard-hitting.
Yeah. Even Flex went,
jeez.
You must know, Flex doesn't respond to shit. So for him to say, James, that is, just say what you want about slippery pickle while you. No. Say something mean, James. You haven't said anything mean.
Being mean. He's not generally a mean person.
He's not a mean person. Now's your chance. Say, fuck you, slippery pickle. It feels good.
Fuck you, man.
Okay, there we go. Well done, James. Proud of you. It's the kind of thing we do. We improve people on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
Here are some other comments. Hello, Ben.
How's it going?
Oh, good morning. Morning.
I like the new lounge.
Oh, yeah. We keep changing the furniture in honor of you.
You approve of the chair?
I do. It's comfy. I feel solid.
Leanne doesn't. She says she needed a cushion behind her.
It was made by a man. Too deep.
There are chairs that are clearly better for men and chairs that are better for women. I hate those sofas where you sit with your the inside of your knees touching the front cushion of the sofa.
That's how I have to sit up. Don't get me started.
Do you prefer this?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. I feel like there's more structure.
You're looking very preppy this morning, Ben.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Like you're about to go and join a college fraternity or something.
Sure, let's do that. No, after this, I need to try to hit golf balls harder than I've ever hit golf balls in my life.
What's this for? Is it just in the...
Yeah, I've been doing this, like, the speed training. So I've got these, like, really strong, heavy rods, basically.
Speed training in golf?
Yeah, so the faster you can swing the thing, the further the ball goes.
Oh. Right.
So it's hard work, though, because, I mean, I've been telling myself for years...
You don't want it to go too far.
No, you do.
Well, you want it to go so stupidly far,
it makes no sense whatsoever.
That's the whole plan.
You don't even find the fairway. Just, Leanne, do you even know guys? Exactly. Over the fence, stupid. But I've been telling myself for years now that back pain, psychosomatic, but put a big session in trying to swing the crap out of something. Yeah. So that's the catch-22, is that I want to train more, but I physically can't train more for this stuff. So I'm in this, like, medium zone.
Can't you get a back replacement?
The whole spinal cord. Yeah, it's very easy. You go in.
Well, it is Black Friday.
The one-night thing.
Better look around.
Yeah. I'm sure they got them at Macro.
Yeah. Oh. Well, Walmart's just open. I'm sure they have to open with something.
Listen, we've still got to do our little sojourn. Ben came up with this great idea that we've all got to just go and you get, I don't know, a couple of hundred rand to spend and you got to see who comes back with the most interesting shit.
Oh, nice.
Well worded. So it'll be interesting shit.
Well, of course. Listen, it's my favorite thing to do is to go to these shops that everyone else finds so boring, like the ones that sell containers.
Oh, like a Plastic World.
Yeah, I love those places. And then, I could spend thousands of rands in those places. And then I'm the one person in the whole of South Africa who always discovers at some point, years later.
Plastic aubergines humping.
I didn't know I needed this thing until now, and now I've got it. How cool. My cupboards are filled with shit that I don't need. And then when I find a use for them later on, I'm like, you see?
Knew it.
Foresight.
Yeah, but when I buy them, I'm an idiot.
Living in the future.
Oh, yeah. I am so in the future. All right. So you're practicing your golf swing, which is excellent.
Yeah, so I need my club head. It needs to go 130 miles an hour. Currently about 127.
Shit.
Which then results in a ball speed of around 185 miles an hour. So
why are we doing miles?
Because that's just, I don't know, Americans inventing machines.
Yeah, you know, that it is so frustrating when you have to keep converting in your head.
It's silly, but those are the metrics to go for.
That's impressive. Those are big numbers.
Which then propels the ball around sort of like 320 meters.
Right.
Not yards. I mean, 350 yards.
I was telling Leanne about this military festival I was at over the weekend last year.
It was
so much fun.
Did you see that video?
Well, I saw it personally when he shared it.
I'm
on the Patreon. I get the preview stuff.
Yeah. By the way, we'll have a special select preview content for our members later on. It's a wild thing that people will get together and it's amazing how when you do realize that there are lots of other people who are interested in the same things you are. So many, in fact, that you could put a festival together. And the guy who did it, I just have such kudos for him. Mm. In his 20s, he's like. Yeah. This is what he wanted to do, and It was so much fun. They had, I don't know, probably about, there were thousands of people. I don't want to guess the number.
Did you stay over?
Stayed near there at a lovely little.
There's so many lovely sort of places
there. Bed and breakfast, guest farm, whatever it is. We did have a waitress, though, who was pretty insistent on getting us processed as fast as possible.
Oh, goodness. Was there a queue?
Yes, her name was Belinda, and she did not want us to sit there and talk shit. Like, as soon as the one course was done, she was clearing it in front of you.
Maybe she's just thorough.
She's very thorough.
Thorough Belinda.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And God help you if you, you know, didn't finish in record time, because she was there to clear up and get the fuck out of there. No time to mess around. But it's things like that that I think make – I was a bit iffy about going, because, you know, I always – the moment before something happens, I always go, ugh, do I really want to do this?
Yeah.
But then when I was there, I was like, first of all, the Eastern Free State's magnificent. Second of all, I got this unique experience. And third of all, what are you going to do? You just stay at home? And I know there are people planning, if you haven't already planned, what you're going to be doing in December. But you got to fill it up with interesting things or people. Because you will miss out otherwise. It'll just be ordinary. And that is what so many people do, is they just have ordinary all the time.
Or they're just plugging into like screens that have the stuff. But to go meet people with the same interests as you, it's so fun.
Mm.
The best.
Yeah. It was very cool. All right. I just want to go to the comments here quickly, because there are lots of people that I need to...
Why was James getting so abused as I walked in?
Was he being abused?
Any particular reason?
Not by you, but... By Slippery Pickle.
Oh, Slippery Pickle's
not,
just...
Obviously not by me. I know when I'm abusing someone, Leanne.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean not by Gareth.
He was
defending his girlfriend over Miss Universe. No, it's
a long story. So,
okay. I'll catch the podcast.
Yeah, luckily this was recorded.
Yeah, gotcha.
It just happened to... We happened to be recording this conversation.
Gustalto says, I have a 2% Bantu mix in my blood. The 2% also doesn't help in acquiring tenders, by the way.
It comes because I've got Congolese in me.
Leanne, not that she has had Congolese in her, but she has.
How did you find that out, Leanne? Basis.
She did one of those DNA swabs.
My brother and cousin did it, and they came up with the same Congolese results, so I must have them too.
Ah, okay. Mm.
Little bit of Indie Congo going on here. How exciting for you. All right. Let's get into some other stuff, because there's a lot to talk about this morning. And I do want Dr. Hanan to be with us as soon as he can. We've got lots to catch up with him on too. Hopefully, James isn't sure, because, you know, James doesn't know anything. But Dumi Morake might be here later on, which is also very cool. Did you guys enjoy the G20? I know you were excited about it. I know you loved the fact that on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday last weekend, you couldn't leave your house if you lived in Joburg, or get to your house if you were outside of Joburg and wanted to try.
Leaving here on Friday last week was fun, because the roads were very empty, because a lot of people worked from home.
Yeah, that was great. I liked that.
But I noticed that there are two billboards on my route to my office, enormous billboards, one digital, which you can change quickly, obviously, and the other paper or printed, welcoming the Indian Prime Minister.
Mm, I've seen those.
Why?
Well, because we just hammer them in the cricket, so maybe that's just a sympathy.
I know it's a BRICS country, but then why don't I see China or Brazil?
Please, you know,
there's lots of Indian people in Joburg, though.
There are.
I'm clutching. I'm guessing
there are people who were trying to curry favor with all these world
curry
leaders.
Favor. Did you say curry?
Yes, curry favor. I said that on purpose. I know a little bit of racial stereotyping on this show goes a long way. We do appreciate a little racial humor first thing in the morning. There were pictures of all the world leaders at OR Tambo, for example. And you kind of wonder how fragile these guys' egos are, that they need to see them.
Hugely.
You know, if I were the president of India, which is a big job in the world, right? It's an important job. You're in charge of a country of over 1 billion people. Do I really give a shit if they've got my poster somewhere? And the kind of people who think he would be impressed by that are the kind of people who would want that done for them. Mm. I just think it's ridiculous. There's so much about this G20 that I just hate.
Here's a thought. What's the difference between the G20 and a Miss World pageant?
None.
Because they all arrive here trying to look their best.
Yes.
They all give a stupid speech how they want to change the world.
Yes.
And then fuck all happens.
Yeah.
At the end.
They're just grateful when it's over.
So basically, Cyril was given his flowers. Cyril got a fucking tiara from nothing, right? Okay, cool. So Cyril's missed G20. Well done.
Yeah.
But it's the same as a beauty pageant. Nothing then happens. It's all one big show. So it's the G20 pageant.
Well, yes, but things got remarkably and considerably worse for Cyril straight after. Mm. He handed over the presidency.
Not to Cyril, it didn't.
Well, it's not good for South Africa either way.
Because it's US next,
All right, the people who told you, I wasn't one of these people. I said that I didn't give a fuck about the G20 and it doesn't matter and all it is going to cause traffic chaos for us. And spend our money, South Africa's money, hosting all of these people from all over the world. So they can sit and talk. That's what they did, right? So they could sit and talk. I was not a true believer in the G20, and I'm not. I'm not going to suddenly change my point of view. But there are people who were true believers. People in our government, for example, who said, oh, the G20 is massively important. It is the most important thing. What an honor for South Africa to host the G20. That's what you heard 4 months from Cyril and his cronies. So if it's so important, you would want to go to the next one. And that's not going to happen. Why? Because Donald J. Trump, have you got that Truth Social thing of his? Donald J. Trump put this out straight after. So he says, the United States did not attend the G20 in South Africa because the South African government refuses to acknowledge or address the horrific human rights abuses endured by Afrikaners and other descendants of Dutch, French, and German settlers. To put it more bluntly, they're killing white people and randomly allowing their farms to be taken from them. This really upsets a lot of people who either say that that's not true or that it's not the government. And I don't want to get into that.
He obviously didn't put a character limit on his...
No, Truth Social. He's Donald Trump. He owns Truth Social.
Yeah, he's got the premium package.
Yeah. So he says, worst of all, the soon-to-be out-of-business New York Times and fake news media won't issue a word against this genocide, which is why all the liars and pretenders of the radical left media are going out of business. Okay, whether he's right or wrong about any of that, we could sit and debate. But the fact is, this is what the President of the United States thinks. And he's not just some schmuck. He is in charge of the world's greatest economy, and he's the host of the next G20. So if you cared about the G20 this year, you have to care about it next year. And the bad news is, as he says at the end of that, let me just read the end because this is the main point. At the conclusion of the G20, he says, South Africa refused to hand off the G20 presidency to a senior representative from our embassy who attended the closing ceremony. Therefore, at my direction, South Africa will not be receiving an invitation to the 26th G20, which will be hosted in the great city of Miami, Florida next year. South Africa has demonstrated to the world they are not a country worthy of membership anywhere. We're going to stop all payments and subsidies to them effective immediately. Thank you for your attention. Okay. Bad for us. So you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. You piss off the most powerful country in the world. They cut off all subsidies and special arrangements that we have. We can't afford that. Our economy is not growing. We are not doing well, just by the way, Cyril. You might be doing well with all your relatives and mining and all your businesses that you got for free because of BEE, which is also why you won't give up on BEE. But the rest of us are kind of having a tough time. It's not a great time to be in business in South Africa. I saw poor old Kat Matlala. He's an honest businessman, isn't he? He was complaining at this commission of inquiry that they're holding in Parliament at the moment about how hard it is with all these politicians just taking from you the whole time, how hard it is to stay in business. Mm. And I mean, if he's struggling, imagine the rest of us. Imagine the person who owns the spaza shop or the food caravan or the coffee shop, right?
So just on this G20 thing, is it like a golf tournament where you go, okay, you're invited, you haven't qualified? Like, can Donald just say it?
Well, this is what they did once with the G8, and then it became the G7. They just uninvited Russia, and guess what? Russia wasn't in the G8 anymore. So, yes, that's how it works.
Okay, so G19. It's a bit of branding, yeah, but I'm sure
gonna, it's
going
to be a mess. Listen, we got to get to Dr. Hanan. We'll come back to this in a minute. Sorry, Doc, I got carried away there with the Donald Trump shit.
No problem. How are you doing, guys?
Excellent. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. Did you guys fall for the Black Friday stuff?
Not me. I know today is Black Friday.
I got an offer to like slash my debt at F&B with a weird email address
was it
attached
from,
to
were
it.
You yeah. I thought so. Why? What? Were you caught out?
Never. I would never. What a scam!
All right. So listen. I mean, we. It is something that people fall for. You get like 2.5% off your TV or whatever, and they think they're getting a great deal.
Yeah, but the problem is that you get 2.5% off your TV that's just been marked up 24 hours ago by 7%.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you bought a new TV 2 years ago, so what do you need a new one for?
Mm-hmm.
So with the year winding down, there are a lot of people feeling that heavy year-end fatigue, and I've noticed this in people. They're tired, they're gut full, they're ready to pack it in, they want to go on holiday, they need a break. How do you explore what the mind and body are asking for by the end of a long year for people? And how do you build practical ways, more importantly than how you're feeling at the end of the year? How do you practically get yourself ready for the new year? Because it's not far away now.
Yeah. Right. So everybody has had enough of the year. I mean, I see this in my practice. People can pretty much taste the holidays and they've shut down. Efficiency is floor level. Competency is not there anymore. People have just had enough and are looking forward to the holidays. Your body's run down. And the years keep on. I mean, how many times do we say to each other, how fast is this year flown by? 24 hours feels like 2 minutes, and a year feels like a month, and it's just, we can't believe it's the end of the year. And the aim is really to maximize every single minute that you have. At the end of the year, yes, you must take time to recover. You must take time to, you know, refresh and emotionally and physically, you know, take time off. But at the same time, what I want to recommend to everybody is create good patterns for the new year. Set specific goals that make you better. Take the lessons of the last year, the good, the bad, the ugly, learn from it. Know what you could have done better. Know what you should have done better. Level up because of the mistakes that you've made and move forward. Learn what you should have done in order to progress forward, but you hadn't, and implement that into your blueprint for the new year. So yes, take time off, but use this as an opportunity to regroup and plan out your new year with a brand new set of blueprints to make your life better.
I always think this time of year is a perfect time for people to just put in that last bit of effort as well, because you know the holiday is just around the corner. So if you can actually really deliver at the end of the year, you also leave work feeling like you've given it your all, which is, you know, what's the point of going to gym if you're not going to break a sweat? And then you feel good when you finished your session. And I think the same goes for work. You don't put in any effort. You don't get anything out. You kind of feel meh about stuff. Ben was talking about improving his golf swing. Leanne has given up smoking. Nice. Everybody's got their things that they're busy with at this time of year. And do you have anything specific in your life that you want to achieve? Do you have a particular end of year goal, something that you want to look after, something you want to change?
So I follow a very particular blueprint when I manage my life, as you know, the anchors. So
those 23 things.
Year.
Yeah, it's 24. it says 24. How many are there?
15.
Damn it.
One day we'll get it right.
Maybe extra night of Black Friday.
All right, so go on. What about you?
So twice a year, in the middle of the year, at the end of the year, I revisit my anchors, especially the 9 fundamental anchors: career, financial security, relationship with family, friends, romantic, diet, exercise, sleep, and your medical health. And I set particular, I review my vision, I review my goals, and I review my strategies. twice a year that takes me maybe a couple of hours to revisit is completely worth the investment, worth the time. And I suggest that everybody does this in December. Once you close shop, once you're out, once you are with, you know, you have the time off, just go and visit your anchors, go and visit your vision. What is it? What is your ultimate why? Why are you prepared to work so hard on these anchors? Create specific measurable goals and create specific measurable strategies in order to achieve those goals. So we have vision, goals, and strategies, and then strategies to achieve goals, goals to achieve visions. And I'll do that twice a year. So yes, I've created brand new goals for myself for all these 9 anchors. And the truth is, life, you should be so lucky to be able to chase goals, because people say, when does it end? When does the chase end? And the answer is, you should be so lucky that it never ends. That's purpose. Yep. That's meaning. Right. That's what's keeping you alive. And we always discuss that mental ill health is the inability to chase goals and feeling stuck. So the fact that you are chasing goals that are meaningful to you, that is, you should be grateful that you have that. So yes, go out and create goals on all those 9 anchors.
Yeah, and I've got to say this, Doc, you know, people also got to be reasonable about those goals. I hear a lot of bullshit from day traders and financial gurus posing next to sports cars on the internet. Just stay in here. We know that you're actually just a loser who really can't do anything properly. Keep your goals reasonable. You're not some famous international financier. You live in, you know, Benoni. Calm down. Nobody's buying your crap. Like, people have got to stop having outrageous goals. I'm never going to be a famous footballer. Leanne is not going to be Miss Universe. Try as she may, and she's entered 15 times, but just never made it. Ben is never going to hit that golf ball at 400 miles an hour, no matter how hard he tries. No. You got to be reasonable about this, right?
You know, goal setting is there's an art and a science, and I recommend to anybody to go and really take a deep dive into how to set realistic, measurable goals that are completely under your control. I swear that is the secret to happiness, setting realistic goals.
So, like, wake up.
Is that all you need to? That's very low bar.
I needed to wake up 365 times this year, and I did it.
Yeah, you did. Well done. Well,
there was one time about a month ago you didn't, and you went on the show.
Yeah, you did wake up late.
There we go. Says that.
Dr. Hanan, there's something interesting you said at the end of that, which I love. Someone said, it could even have been you. I'd love to give you credit if it is you. So the difference between your expectations and the reality is where you often get stuck and people don't find happiness, right? So if you expect something to be here and it is there, you're happy. That gives you happiness, momentary or prolonged, yes. Who knows? If your expectations are here and everything falls short, you're going to find yourself miserable. And if you set your expectations too low, then it's also boring and just unstimulating, and life gets very frustrating for people like that. So you got to make the expectation meet the reality. And some people have a huge difficulty with that because they live in fantasy.
You know, I do live by this principle that the best relationships on planet Earth with anything and anyone is where expectation meets reality. I've said this, if you walk into a restaurant and the restaurant is a 1 out of 10 and you're expecting a 1 out of 10, you'll have a good meal. If you walk into a restaurant and you expect a 3 out of 10 and you get a 1 out of 10, that's when you're disappointed. The best relationships on planet Earth are not where it's a 10 and a 10, because that's not real. The best relationships in the world is where it's a 10 and you're investing 10 and a 9 and a 9 and an 8 and an 8 and a 5 and a 5 and a 1 and a 1, where you can meet expectation with the reality of what it is, or you can meet reality with expectation where it is. You'll have a beautiful meal. You'll have a beautiful relationship. Match your expectation with the reality of what it is.
I love that. Thank you very much, Doc. Nice to see you. Have a happy Friday.
Nice to see you guys.
See you in a week's
time.
You
too, guys.
Dr. Hanan, everybody. Are you buying anything for Black Friday, Ben and Leanne?
So I did yesterday.
What did you buy?
Well, because I'm going to do more golf content and filming, I bought a camcorder.
Oh.
So it's better with like big zooms. It's got like a fixed focus. It doesn't really require stabilization.
Sounds so archaic. What is it again?
I know it does. It's just a kind of camera.
Video camera.
Yeah. So I don't have to worry so much about like focus the whole time. It's got a big 4K thing, and then it's got this big zoom, so I can use it on the golf course and when I go into the wild.
Excellent.
And you got a good deal in it?
Pretty sure I did. I ran it by my camera friends. They said, yeah, good call.
Nice.
And then I bought these lapel mics recently, which are really great.
Those little fluffy ones?
Yeah, they've got a little fluff thing. And then out
it's
of nowhere.
It's almost like a small animal is living on your lapel.
Or like when you've been for a wax and you leave the strip.
Yes. Just on
just
your
a little tuft on top.
Just there, a tuft on top.
Right.
And I originally bought them at a great price, and now this week they were even cheaper. So I got backups.
Well done, Ben. Okay, that's money well spent.
And I'm fucking around the sites or something like that.
I want to use your own words from last week. You said you have enough shit.
That's
and
it.
Look at you. You went and bought more shit.
Well, I can make money from this shit. So it was more of an investment than a frivolous expenditure.
Okay, very good. Mm. Leanne, anything?
No. I'm not a good spender. I'm still petrified.
Are you miserly?
Yes, I'm petrified of running out of money, always.
That's the Scottish blood in you, not the Congolese.
Yeah, the Congolese in me would have bought like gold chains by now.
Okay, so you're a bit of a miser in your
spare
time.
What would you like to buy, Leanne? What would you like to see on Black Friday?
I would do like teeth whitening and boob picker-uppering and...
Sure.
Well,
Leanne's on a massive self-improvement thing.
On the right sides, you can get that.
I'd love that.
Listen, she's got two new hips. She's on the Ozempic. She's dropped the smoking. She's going to be a fucking Miss Universe entry before she knows it.
You know, watch the space.
Just watch the space.
Leanne, I know
it's coming.
I know
everybody
gets
the
lesson we just had, but just phone people and say, what's your Black Friday on the boob picker uppering or the spa or the teeth whitening?
I'm sure there's a doctor out there who give of their time pro bono. You're a very famous person, Leanne.
That would be amazing.
What kind of a boob picker-uppering are we talking about? Not a size
Well,
change.
No, we can't do the boob picker-uppering yet because we're still Ozempicizing.
Oh, right. So, but it could happen at the end.
But I think we could do with the teeth thing. I need a new porcelain tooth.
Also, with the smoking going, you want your teeth
need
can
the
be
new teeth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, what an exciting time to be alive for
it
you.
Isn't it great? This is terrific.
Fantastic.
I told you this show is all about motivation. You know, don't be negative.
Just be positive.
No, whenever I look for the podcast, I always go to the motivation section, and there it is. Trending.
I think we need more motivation people. James, can we have a motivation person on next week? Okay.
This is going to be one of those things you regret when you get in here and the person's already here early going, hi, Gareth.
Yeah. Good day is an early day.
You're going to be like, oh, fuck, I forgot about this.
You're right. Okay, can we just quickly get back to the G20 because I want to wrap this up.
G20 pageant.
So the pageant that is the G20, so we're not going to be able to get to Miami because even if the G20 is something outside of a national government – as a bunch of them that get together, you still need to stay somewhere. You need to show your passport. You need to land somewhere. And if the president of the United States says you can't land there, then Cyril's going to have to make other plans.
So
he'll have to have his own party with all the cuck countries that aren't part of the G20. Anyway, it's also bad for us because of all those subsidies and those arrangements and those deals that we had with the U.S. We cannot afford to lose this stuff. So if you cared about the G20 up to – Trump's tweet, you have to care about it afterwards. Otherwise, you're inconsistent.
Mm.
If you didn't care about it before, like me, this doesn't matter. That's why all I said when I posted that was, oh.
The thing about this pageant here in SA is that Cyril could open his hands because they were in his country. If Cyril takes his hands to Miami, everyone's like, yeah, Cyril, that was last time, bro.
Yeah, well.
So it's actually, so everyone's going to be so nice to him here because they're here, like he's the host. Yeah. Miami, they won't even look at him.
Well, they issued all kinds of statements in the little bit of attention I paid to this. And honestly, the most I thought about it was from a traffic point of view. They released a 120-point report at the end of this, all about Ubuntu. And you know when the ANC starts claiming Ubuntu as the thing that they – That we all take away from this. I mean, really, that is just low-hanging fruit because we know they're out of ideas. Climate change stuff. It's all the same shit from previous G20s, reissued, repolished. The turd has been polished again. and put out there. That nothing will happen. There are no deadlines. There are no action plans. No execution. It's just performance. As predicted.
Can we just... Okay. So will Trump feel differently about South Africa? Not that he has feelings as such. Will his actions to South Africa be more positive if we prove that, what, farm killings are no longer happening?
He just wants four things. He says you cannot apply affirmative action and BEE laws to American companies. That's number one. Mm. Number two is acknowledge that farm killings are happening and make it a priority of the police. Mm. Now, we should, in any case in this country, I mean, Cyril made all those speeches about GBV. We know he's going to do nothing about it, but at least he said it, right?
Because when I was at the SABC, the editor would walk around and check that we were not putting the farm murders into our bulletins.
Correct, correct. So this is what's been happening for years. Now, you've confirmed that that was a thing, and there are still news organizations that like to pretend that farm killings don't happen. It's just propaganda from AfriForum. So tell the truth about it and promise you're going to deal with it, even if you don't, because we know our government lies all the time. There are women who've woken up with bruises today that government's done nothing to help. Right, even though Cyril said just a week ago, oh, gender-based violence is a big deal to me. I read on my iPad that gender-based violence is something I must talk about. So he doesn't give a shit. And if you just said it, Trump would go, thanks, just acknowledge. The third thing is there were four altogether.
Yeah.
One had to do with, oh, God, this is really rare. Farm killings.
BEE.
It was basic stuff.
Yeah, I remember.
Whatever it is. I remember that I've forgotten. The four things, but all it is stuff that the government can say. They must just say they're doing it.
Mm.
Acknowledge it, which they won't do. Because for them, just to acknowledge that, you know, there might be white Afrikaners who are the victim – ruins their whole narrative. They want to be the victim, always.
Have to monopolize victimhood, yeah.
You heard him even do it last week, our president, when he said, we will not be bullied. I mean, that's exactly what someone who's about to be bullied says.
And he's just been bullied.
Correct. So they love being the victim. They must be the only victim. No one else is allowed to be the victim. I'll remember the other two things as we go through the show. This Kat Matlala thing is fascinating.
It's so fascinating that if you go to certain places around SA right now, like, for example, I was at the golf course 2 days ago, and the guy who does the tee sheets and, like, says, go ahead now,
on his phone. He's watching it.
And then the other guy comes through, they watch it.
Right.
And they were just sitting watching their phone. And this court case goes, it was the Oscar case all over again, but to a broader audience.
I haven't seen a lot of it, but I saw the Brown Mochotsi stuff about all the money that has to change hands. I saw Kat Matlala talking while Glynis Breytenbach and Julius were busy interrogating him in Parliament yesterday, talking about how he had to hand over millions of rands to Becky Cele, the former Minister of Police, who, I mean, it's just amazing to me how the word is greedy, the word is parasitic, how happy to take. There are so many people in South African politics who are just on the take.
Completely. Right? It's the only thing to get into.
And even these guys they award the tenders to, because, for example, in the couple of seconds I saw yesterday, Glynis Breytenbach says to him, how much was this tender worth? So he says, about 350 million, of which he made 50 million. He pays himself something like 2 million rand a month. That's enormous, enormous money. The average South African salary is like 6,000 rand a month. And then the politicians, after they've given him this tender, and he's now, you know, he's either delivered or not delivered the service. That doesn't seem to be important. But then they come for some more. And her question to him was, how do you deal with just handing over this money? And he was like, well, it's how it works. So the government gives you the tender, so they get access to public funds, taxpayers' money. Then they give you the tender, you take your profit, and then after you've taken your profit, the the same government people who gave you the tender come knocking and go, right, it's coca time.
So government set up shell companies within individuals who are just greedy. So it's correct. A perpetual
it's a
circle.
Criminal, it's a criminal enterprise,
yeah.
Which we suspected and now we're hearing about. And I do think it's great that these inquests, commissions of inquiry are going ahead because we're finding out more and more how crooked and rotten the whole system is. And I do hope we discover along the way because, you know, there's no honor among thieves, right?
Yeah.
So once one or two of these guys end up in jail and they realize, like, it's not worth me protecting those other assholes who are out there living large, I may as well hang them out to dry as well. So let's see. Let's see who else gets pulled into this. But these are all terrible people. Venal is really the word I was looking for earlier. Venal. They are... They're just unbelievably hungry for other people's money and have no idea of how to get it other than by stealing.
It's the only reason to get into it. Like, people get into veterinary science because they want to help animals. These folks get into it to steal money.
To steal.
It's like politicians. They get into politics to break something or make it fall. No one's ever gone, I'm getting in here because I want to build this. I think early childhood.
It's the same as being a Moruti in this country, being a pastor or a priest.
Get in to share the Lord's work. It's just like, I'm going to get in to rob my community.
Cash money. Yeah, that's what it is. All right, we're going to get to sport in a short while, but I do want to also talk, while we're talking about Black Friday and spending money and you entering Miss Universe again.
Are you doing it via Congo this time?
Yeah, I'm
that's
going
the
in
country. Maybe
that's
actually
the
route now. But you know, we were talking earlier with Dr. Hanan about setting your goals for the new year. Well, people are making a big deal out of this, probably because he's fat. But John Steenhuisen's Uber Eats bill is something else.
No, no. Has this been now discovered?
You don't know the story?
No.
Ben, please help her.
I don't know the full story. I wanted to put throughout the forum here.
Yes. Apparently he has... listen, a lot of South Africans have credit card debt.
I heard about the debt, but I didn't know that this had been pinned down to Uber Eats.
A lot of it is Uber Eats. A lot of the money he spends as minister on his government credit card is for Uber Eats. But I believe, you know, and again, you can deduce a lot of things by looking at people. There are many people.
Is he married with kids?
Yes, he's married. A lovely wife.
Well, he gives them some of the Uber Eats as well.
Of course. And let me tell you, when it comes to my Uber Eats bill, often that is when I'm ordering stuff for other people at the office, or you don't feel like cooking, so you order that. It's as good as going to the shops and spending your money. So I don't think there's a big deal in that. You know, I like to take the piss out of John Steenhuisen because he's got so fat. But everyone in South African politics seems to me to be overweight.
Well,
just
course,
about
because,
everyone.
Because they have we can only afford plates. They can afford troughs.
Correct.
So that's why they are literally and figuratively bloated.
They're all on the take as well from the trough.
Okay, sorry, just to kind of throw it in now, is that as I look at the story, there was a default of 150,000 Rand on the credit card.
Yeah, I know people...
Personal credit card.
So again...
I don't know if that's part of the story.
I do want to just delineate here between the fact that we should always... take the piss out of politicians.
Good
anyone
start, yeah.
In elected office, and especially those in government that we're paying for, we should always mock and ridicule. That's part of the game, right?
Across the board.
Yeah, you must make fun of politicians. You must not respect them or admire them. If you admire them,
they
your life has gone horribly
They shouldn't
wrong.
Be famous enough for us to know so much about them to take the piss out of them.
Yeah, so if you're fat and your credit card is in debt and we find out about it because you're a government guy, wah. We're going to make fun of you. But I do have to say that South Africans must be careful about living in glass houses and throwing stones, because I suspect there are a great many South Africans who are also living in credit card debt and who owe more money than they have.
Totally.
So if you're going to climb onto this bandwagon a little too joyfully, let's just remember that if you have any credit card debt, it's hypocrisy, really. Not that I'm going to defend John. I don't know what his personal finances are. Frankly, I'm not interested. I just think he should lose some weight.
Yeah.
And you agree, Ben?
I agree. I think as you get older, it's a very important thing to do.
Yeah, and Leanne agrees now too, because she's now in the body shaming camp after being in the body positivity camp.
Another milestone.
Yes.
Because I know you're a BMI fan.
Yes, massive. Yeah. That's all bullshit, right?
Completely.
Yeah.
But if
it'll come back once the Ozempic kicks in.
But if it matters,
yeah,
then I've finally crossed over from obese to overweight.
Well done.
Yeah, well done.
This is is it fun. Just falling off of you? Are you feeling it?
It's not falling off of me. I've made drastic changes to my lifestyle.
No, I love it. I'm not trying to take away any of the credit you deserve.
But it balances so many things that allow you to be able to lose weight. I was eating. I have to eat more now.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was eating nothing.
Well, you're eating better.
I had malnutrition, basically. But it balances so many things.
Hey.
I know. I was actually diagnosed with malnutrition.
Malnourished, isn't she? Wasn't getting the right nutrients she needed in her life.
Okay.
Had to have, I was in hospital for a week for that.
When I think malnutrition, I think of those kids with the flies all over them.
No, you can be fat, do that, even though it's Christmas. And malnourished.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But yes, I mean, I don't want to go on and on about it, but I do now see people. I saw two people on my way here who were trying to get their morning walk or jog in.
Hey.
And I'm just like, there is medication that can help you.
Yeah, but I love and appreciate the people who do the exercise. You got to do the exercise.
No, they can do the exercise, but I'm just like, it's not going to help. It's not.
The other part of it is eat the right stuff and don't eat all of it.
Yeah, it's not going to help. The medication.
You don't need the medication. Medication plays a role. You can't just pin everything on, oh, well, I've tried everything. It's only the medication. It's been proven from time forever.
But balancing, I've proven it myself in my 48 years of existence.
Yes, but you can't say that someone over there is walking who's obese. They go, no, stop that. Stop that right now.
No, stop that. I'm just like, I can see the pain in their face and the effort that they're putting in. And yes, it may stop them from gaining more weight, but they're not going to lose.
They had a huge fart on board as you drove past. And that was the face. Also, I do think Ben makes a point. We have this inclination in modern society to medicalize everything. We medicalize feeling shitty. When feeling shitty is part of being a human, we medicalize every behavioral thing that we want to also find a miracle cure for. And I do think that there are potentially miracle cures on the horizon for all kinds of things that we are struggling with as a species. But you've got to also accept that some stuff is just part of life.
Mm.
Not everything is medicalized and not everything has a miracle cure.
And you've also got to understand that everything's a long-term play. If you are now putting your hopes on medication, is that forever?
It is for me. It's chronic. I'll be on it for the rest of my life.
Okay. Again, sorry, I'm not just talking about you. I'm just talking about in the general strokes of people.
Yeah.
So you can't just say, well, I'm just going to do this for the next 50 years of medicine. What if you did 50 years of just getting into all these habits that you're speaking about? Because you say everything has to align. So if you've got this whole idea,
give up smoking, for example.
If you've got this whole idea, I'm just going to take this and see how it goes for 6 months. The mindset is just, you have to start a different mindset the whole time. It's like, this is just what I'm going to do now. So all these things you're doing, this is who you're going to become. That's how you're going to get success. And this whole thing
And I do think there's an interesting bifurcation here in these two very important things that are going on right now. Like the one for you was the smoking, which I didn't even know you were going to do. And you've stopped and it's been a week and you say you'll never go back. And I think that's tremendous.
Yeah.
And that's a decision that you've done without medication. And the other one was medical. And I know that in your case, you say that it was also something which you had to do to get the hormones and the various chemicals in your brain and your body aligned properly, and that's perfectly plausible, and I'm not your doctor, so I'm not going to argue about it either. But you've got the two different things. The one is behavioral, which is what Ben's talking about, and the other one is medical.
Well, the thing is with these GLP-1s is that they also help with addiction.
Apparently they also help with dementia. Someone told me that they are starting to see.
Yeah, it's very good for brain health. Very good for brain health. Protects your brain. Protects you from, not stops you from ever having them, but it helps prevent strokes. It.
I thought you were having one this morning when you said, "Oh, wiggle, wiggle, wah, wah, wah."
It's good for your blood pressure. It's good for your cholesterol. It is good for your, and this is not the losing weight part.
Yeah.
You know, even if you ate enough to sustain your weight at obese, but you were having a GLP-1, your cholesterol would reduce.
Brilliant.
Your BP would reduce. Great. Your heart, it gives protection of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Liver, kidneys, lungs, brain. The list's just endless.
All right, so I want to move on to another trend that is happening all over the place, and I see more and more people doing this, and I totally understand it. It appeals to me as well. Do you guys have any interest in going offline, as in permanently? Because I know that as part of what we do here on the show, it's an impossibility, right? But you can make decisions around your body, your lifestyle, your medical situation. So you can also make decisions about your social involvement in the world. And it is massively tempting to me. I often joke about how when we eventually stop doing the show, which I love doing, but who knows how long that'll last. Maybe one day I'll decide I don't love it anymore. Then will I want a social media presence at all? The truth is no.
Mm.
Like once I don't do this show, why the hell would I want to share anything else on Instagram, Facebook, X, you know, TikTok? I'm not on TikTok, and there's a reason for that. It's enough. I've had enough. I don't want it anymore. Yeah. And I also look at how many people, their whole world is about that. And these are not happy people.
So my brother's tenant, very different guy.
You mean just, a bit weird?
Yeah. Lives in a one-bedroom cottage but has a sports car.
Yeah.
He's trades in cryptocurrency and works for an American company.
Is he also a motivational speaker on weekends?
He's up at all weird hours.
Yeah.
Heavily reliant on marijuana.
Yeah.
Decided one day he was just done with technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have a phone number anymore. He doesn't have a phone. He actually writes letters to people. He writes physical letters to people.
Yeah.
He doesn't have an email address anymore.
I like this.
He just went offline.
I got to tell
you. And it's so weird I bring him up because he's leaving today. A new tenant's coming in.
For what, the
1600s? I don't know.
He's leaving for some country that no longer exists.
Yeah.
Going off to explore the Arctic. It's appealing. I won't lie. There's something about it that appeals to me.
But there's so many cool dynamics within this because trends are trends because people want to talk about it and seem fancy. But we don't have that luxury. Like you just said now, okay, your example, not that you were completely married to it, but because of the show and what you do, you have to use it as a mechanism. The ultimate flex nowadays is to say, you know what? I'm rich enough. I'm smart enough. I'm all of these things. I don't need to be part of this. It's like when you can go off like that, clearly this guy's made money. If he still needs to make money, he would be on the screen still. Mm. So being offline now is actually almost like the biggest luxury. It's like, guys, I don't need to be part of that.
Yeah.
It's like when you escape the rat race of 9 to 5 and you go, no, you know what? I work from home 2 days a week. That's a massive flex. And going offline is the exact same thing. Mm. Because getting online is one of those things. Like throughout history, we've always – like literacy has been a big flex, right? The difference between those who live in shit and those that throw the shit. Yeah. And from day one, that's always been a thing. So when early adopters of social media, content creation, all those things, that was a flex because it was saying, I'm smarter than you, basically.
Yeah, I saw this coming.
I'm harnessing all these things together.
Right.
But then you get to the stage where it's like, okay, well, I've finished with that thing now. So the people who can go offline, this is why I think it's a cool topic, because people who say, yeah, I'm going to go offline – bitch, you got to earn that right. You don't just suddenly wake up one morning and go, yeah, you know what? Ugh.
And also those people who say, I'm going to go offline and they're looking for attention. They're back the next week.
It's just another one of those things.
They're like those people who predict that the world's going to end. And then when it doesn't end, they expect to just be welcomed back to society with open arms. There needs to be a punishment. If you say you're going to leave and then you come back, the platform that you come back on should just ban you. There should be an automatic thing. By the way, I saw Elon did this cool thing with X recently. He made X reveal, created some new condition that it reveals where you are in the world. and the origin of your account. In other words, where it's domiciled or where it's what the jurisdiction of your tweets.
I would
is.
Have thought it already did.
No, it didn't. And people could also bullshit. Like I could say I was in Haiti, Port-au-Prince, right? And then I'd be tweeting about the US election or I'd be interfering in Russia or whatever. So now they can tell where these – turns out a lot of the people who've been causing huge amounts of shit in America politically and driving up division on both sides of the spectrum are based in Australia, Russia, Ukraine, Hungary, Poland, wherever else, but not in America. So in other words, these are people outside who are agitating the people inside.
Mm.
And it's just interesting to know this because you can ignore those voices. I mean, I don't go on X very often anymore, so I don't know what people are saying or what the trending subjects are. I just post stuff and then leave. I don't look at the comments or anything else. And I've got to tell you, it's like a much better way to live. Now, I can see turning that up a level to what Ben was saying and really cranking the dial all the way to 10 and saying, I just don't want to be on here at all. That appeals to me in a massive way. And I do think it is it's the new flex. The
thing is, people don't know how cool it is because they never get to do it. When you get to actually go away and leave your phone and do stuff,
it's good.
It is really cool. But the thing is, no one's in that privileged position to do so. And this is something that people aren't quite admitting by this whole trend of, I want to go and just read a book for 4 days. It's like, okay, well, who's fucking paying you?
Well, it also used to be that being busy and being important meant you had to be contactable all the time, right? The more important you were, the more on your phone you needed to be. And the more available in case that, sir, we need the nuclear code so we can look. Ah, yeah, the numbers are 5499567. And you are important. Now, the most important person in the room is the one who doesn't have to answer a call, pick up his phone, or even have anyone know where he is.
But it's weird how, because
other people will deal with that.
It's all a value proposition, right? When these things started, if you had an iPad, if you had all these pieces of tech, it was a massive value thing. It's like, that's important. But if you now, because we've evolved with technology, if you have the ability to delegate that or pay someone to do that kind of shit, your value is now being shown. So it's just funny. Like within our recent lifetime, value propositions have changed so much. The guy with the latest phone and all the gadgets has gone from being cool to like a bit of a dork.
I noticed one small thing while I was away last weekend because the rooms these kind of stand-alone rooms that we all had didn't have Wi-Fi in them, and there was no signal because of the mountains. And I slept better. I just slept better. I didn't have to sit there mindlessly scrolling. Not that that's what I'm always doing, but screens are such a part of our life. It's usually the last thing we see before we go to sleep, first thing we see when we wake up.
Yeah.
And it's not good for you. We already know. We've discussed those terrible glasses that you're meant to wear for the blue light that keeps you awake. I don't like it. You don't sleep as well. You don't wake up feeling refreshed. You can do without this shit.
We are so wired by all these things.
Am I
going to
get a call from the Pope tomorrow? Oh, we need your say on this, Gareth. You know, you're part of the G20. You need to be in on this. Who's calling me for the most important decisions in the world? If it's that important, figure it out. Do without me. I just want to go to some comments here on this. If you can earn an income from being online, stay online. If you have true followers who interact with you, stay online. Anything less than that, you're free to go offline for good.
That's also a good point.
Totally different, but I do write Christmas cards every year, says Dear Linda, to my friends and family, and they know they're getting books as Christmas gifts every year and a note written with a good friend and a date. Yeah, I do. I noticed how badly my handwriting's deteriorated because I still write lists and things, but I don't write letters. And it's terrible. I look at my handwriting now and I go, like, what is your crippled hand?
I write notes all day, but my handwriting is still terrible.
It's horrific.
Compared to what it used to be.
Yeah, but that's like functional stuff, though. So you can make notes, like jot it down.
In the last 100 years, celebrity was fame. In the next 100 years, celebrity will be anonymity, says Michael.
Similar concept.
Yeah, I've promoted this idea for ages, and you can go back and listen to when I first said that privacy will be the most valuable asset in the future.
It is.
It's already happening. Gee, you've already been gradually getting us offline. I only see the show once a week. Well, that's all there is, Max Sony. Sorry. Move to Tristan da Cunha or St. Helena. I'll bet you'd be missing the onlines. Yeah, you can. You can go to places like that that are so isolated where you have patchy internet, or maybe you get Elon's, what is it called? Starlink.
Starlink. Oh, yes.
Yeah, maybe that's what you get there. But, listen. I think there are good things and bad things about the screens and the connectiveness and the networking and the social media. I think there are good and bad things. Most people are terrible at regulating those good and bad things for themselves. And I don't want anyone else to step in and regulate it for us. So if you can't manage it yourself, too bad. Doesn't mean we need governments to suddenly take control. That would be much worse.
Or never.
Yeah. All right. Cancer from where is the question? Okay, this has got to do with cancer from the phones. I've always wondered about that. I always wondered about like the radiation and the signals and the Wi-Fi and the Bluetooth. And
well, that was like another like climate change thing. But have we got the numbers of people getting a lot of ear cancer,
head cancer? I don't know. I don't think there's a huge amount of that going on, unless I'm not paying attention.
Because people would say like if you were driving back in the day and you had your phone in your lap, then you're basically just signing up for ball
they
cancer.
They say to women, don't put your
because you get tit cancer
into your bra type thing.
The cancer thing has always scared the hell out of most of us, right? Because it just happens. Can't do anything about it. Catch it early enough, you can. But if anything strange is introduced to our lives, I suppose we are terrified that it might give us cancer. And now, perhaps after some 25 years, maybe 30 years of being around phones all the time, you would expect to see a massive spike if that was the case.
Like a generation of cancer people because of phones.
Yeah.
Mm.
People's ears falling off.
Yeah. Oh, you can see they have the Nokias. Look at their ears.
Yeah, look at Dave. Spock, got that massive hole in his
Spock
head.
Spock ears because he spent all the time with his cancerous phone.
All right, let's get into some sport, Ben.
All right, that's my cue then.
Thank you, Ass. Have a happy day. And best of luck with your weekend.
Oh, you too.
Alrighty. Bye. All right, you want to move closer, Ben? There we go.
Yeah, it's a better chair because that microphone tips your legs off.
Oh, how irritating.
Yeah, it's very good. You'll sit to the right.
Put it on the other. We keep rearranging the furniture just to try and make you happy.
Yeah, look, everything's iterative process in life. But, wow.
All right. Where do we start with sport?
So much, Gareth. Because right now, we might just be in the best SA era of sports of all time. It's like people are winning. We're doing so well. And people are so excited about this. So, for example, like what really hastened this is that we know the Bucks are great. And the Bucks continue to be great. Last week, they didn't even want to score a lot of points. They just wanted to embarrass Ireland physically. It was almost like a training run. So, the Irish have just been salty, and they're a bunch of pricks, as we spoke about last week. Irish people are always fun. I told you, they're almost like my favorites in a golfing setting.
Yeah, sure.
But the rugby ones seem to just be pricks, and I've no idea why. But they've come across like that for ages. Now they're having the biggest moan because the ref gave them cards and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, that was last week's story. What you need to know is that we are so dominant physically, and we've worked out rugby so much that we can humble a team into them basically losing their identity. And this is going to happen now. It was the biggest like wake-up call for Irish rugby, like where they're not in the world right now. So the Bucks are playing again this weekend. It's outside of a test window, though. So they're playing against Wales, who are already shite.
Yeah.
And now Wales have lost half the players who could actually play well because they've got to go play club stuff because now we're back in the club time of rugby. Anyway, the Bucks are carrying on. They've actually got a pretty great. They've obviously got a great side. We've lost 13 players, and our team is still shit hot. And they are going to absolutely pulverize the Welsh. So a part of me is like, this game could be very one-sided. Another part of me is like, it's a test match. Rusty knows what he's doing. We're going to get something out of this. And I don't care about these guys' tears anymore. I really don't.
Yeah.
They're all going to have another moan about, oh, the scrum's too powerful. We've got to disband it. We've got to take the power away. Shut up. You need to go and train your props. This is what this thing is. Like, the Bucks do it. We've got the best props in the world. Give those fatties function. Make them absolute athletes. And that's what we've done. Like, for me, like the props have become like the rock stars of rugby.
Sure.
So it's not the wings and the fly off and that kind of stuff. They're great. But who are your props? That's the biggest flex now in rugby. And players, the guys need to develop them. That's all it comes down to. We have a guy who's got a scrum farm in this country.
Yeah.
Don Heumann. He wears bucket hats.
Scrum farm.
And he gets fat oaks to get strong and push.
Yeah.
All he does.
Yeah.
Does Wales have that? No. Wales probably got like a self-tan guy. Does Ireland have that? No. They've got like a fucking king of choirs or whatever. Guys, just get your priorities together. If you want to be good at rugby, get good scrums. That's all it comes down to.
Just copy us.
Just copy us. Yeah. And if you don't like scrums, then play rugby league.
You know, the greatest thing someone ever said to me was like, if you admire somebody and you want to be like them, copy their habits, copy their training, and you will get there.
Until you That's can become right. your own beast. Yeah.
I mean, you might be a pastiche, shitty version, but at least you're improving along the way.
But you're on the right track.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, Ben. Jethro wants to know, start with that tosser Matt Williams, the skid mark on rugby. Who is this and why are we talking about
him? He's just some official coach / journalist who's constantly bleating about how unfair. Like he says, unfair that the Springboks have 7 forwards on the bench and they can change their pack. Well, then get your own 7 forwards on the bench, dipshit.
Oh, I'm so sick of people using the word unfair.
And now it's like rugby, like the scrum is ruining rugby. Well, get a better scrum then. Like, it's just.
Come Staldrat, these guys.
It's so childish. It's just so childish. And it's this commie kind of thinking where it's like, oh, poor me. We'll all be the same.
You know where it comes from? You just said, and he said it obviously, unfair.
Unfair.
It's people going, that's unfair. They look at the world. And they go, it shouldn't be what it is. My fantasy is better than the reality. I'm going to force all of you to comply with my fantasy instead of accepting the reality. And if you don't do it, I'll tantrum. That's what it is.
It's also just always people not knowing how the world actually works, throwing out their stupid perception of what they think it works, and it lands nowhere. So Matt Williams, or whatever the fuck your name is, if you ever start a business, which I'm sure you haven't because you've just mooched off rugby as a semi, I don't know what, a coach, maybe player. When you start a business, you look, what's my unfair advantage in this market? Because if I have an unfair advantage of my competition, I will win, therefore I'll make money. Yeah. And you try work on that. So if it's hiring the
right
person.
It's called your unique selling point.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. USP.
So you either hire the right person for that, you upskill yourself for the right sort of thing, or you target a market where you are going to be the king.
Yes.
So Matt Williams, our unfair advantage is that we can scrum because we have oaks that like pushing oaks around. Bang, sold it for you. There, sorry. So have a fucking cry, Great Britain, who we've now steamrolled. And England, we're coming for you. These dipshits now think they're great because they've beaten Argentina and New Zealand. They're playing here in July and they're going to get hammered. Can't wait. So yeah, this weekend rugby, final game for the Box this year. We are the best in the world. It's a victory parade, Saturday at 5. The URC is back as well though. So the Bulls will be hosting the Lions. Big weekend at Loftus. You can go and bri.
Oh, that's your favorite kind of weekend.
Oh, it's just and we have them again now. It's so we can have them over the summer.
Right.
The Stormers are quite depleted because some of their best players are still playing for the Box, but they'll be away to Munster. Munster are top of the log right now in URC with the Stormers, but I think the Stormers are going to kind of just, you know, give this one away because next week's the Investec Champions Cup as well. Okay. So the unfortunate thing is that with the squads being so stretched, especially when there's a Box match in the mix as well, the guys basically cut their losses and go, probably not going to win this game. Put a B team out there. That's more of a focus game for us. All the teams do it. And then Connacht are hosting the Sharks, also will be depleted. And yeah, the crickets, we've got the ODIs coming. So that'll be from the 30th, which is what, Sunday?
Now, very interesting episode of your show On The Bounce, which has gone up this week.
Yeah, this week. So as of 2 days ago, so Wednesday, it's 30 days to go until the SA20 starts.
Excellent.
So it's a huge milestone because in this time, the really cool thing about this tournament is that they're doing roadshows around schools. Mm. They're getting people excited. They're going to all the different places. And one of the points that I made in this week's show,
which you were filming in the rain.
You've actually got to watch it because there's so many moving parts here. But one of the points I made was that there's nothing in this country that gets sporting fierce like the Betway SA20.
Yeah.
And one of our guests at the time, who granted was a rapper who knows nothing about cricket, he's like, bro, rugby. It's like, yeah, cool. Box Saturdays are amazing. But who's going to Kabaka? Who's going to like Durban and getting people excited about stuff? Who's going to Paul?
Yeah.
The tournament is doing so much, and being a part of it has been so fun for us. And we also chatted to Donovan Ferreira about hitting sixes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's really, really good. He plays the Joburg Super Kings. So these kids at the school were bowling to at Montrose, and he was clipping their balls over the fence. Take that, you bowl shit.
Yeah.
It was so fun. It was like a really fun morning of doing that. So you can catch, yeah, you obviously catch that show. It's episode 70 of On the Bounce. Yeah, okay, so on crickets, I mean, we haven't won a test series in India since Hansi.
Wow, that's pathetic.
25 years.
But that's a very, very big downtime for us.
It's a very long time not to be on top there.
Oh, well done
and
that we're out.
We absolutely wiped the floor with India. So our coach, Shukri Conrad, said that he wanted India to grovel. So because we declared really late in the game, and we ended up winning by 408 runs.
Yeah.
That's a hammering. So naturally, because everyone is so hypersensitive nowadays, there's now racial drama around Shukri Conrad telling them that he wants Indians to grovel.
Oh.
Which is clutching at best.
Well, you know, again, when you're a loser and you've run out of excuses for being a loser and it's unfair, then what you do is
you're making such a good point. It comes back to that every time.
Yeah, you claim victim status and you being unkind to me. You know, unfair and unkind, these are obviously concepts that matter when you're trying to train a child into the fact that the world might not always work out the way they want it to be. So you tell them, well, that's unfair. But you don't say to them that unfairness needs to be repaired, because it can't be.
No.
You know, the fact is, some people are born with tremendous athletic skill, which I would love to have, but I don't have it. And that's unfair. But you know what I can do about it?
Yeah.
Zero.
But it's a comment to tie something together. It's not a reality. So, yeah, Gareth, it's a bit unfair that you can't run as fast as Usain Bolt. You know,
it's it's unfair to India that we've beaten them so comprehensively.
Yes. It's...
And if the guy said grovel and that made a couple of people sensitive because their parents didn't teach them when they were little that the world is not there for them, too bad. Wah. So you know what goes with unfair? Wah.
Exactly. And then it's what you do about the unfairness afterwards, which is all that matters.
Yeah.
You don't think constantly keep going about unfairness? Go. It's like India, get better batsmen.
Yeah.
Wales, Ireland, get better props. Guys.
Just improve.
Just improve. Just
improve or go away. But you're not allowed to take up our time with all this wah.
I tell you what's also unfair is football. It's so unfair.
James's
team, so shit.
James, do you feel football's unfair?
Oh, James had this whole thing that Arsenal's going to bottle it after December. James's team is so shit that even in like that they've won. Was it James? They've won. They've lost 9 of the last 12. Okay, so yeah, that's unfair. Wow, again, as you say. Yeah. But now, what's also unfair is that Arsenal and Chelsea are clearly just so much better than everyone else right now. Arsenal hammered Bayern Munich this week. James told me that we're going to lose.
Okay.
James was telling me like, oh, Harry Kane's going to score goals. Doesn't like Arsenal. Then he started just naming Portuguese guys that made no sense. And what did Arsenal do? 4-1. They won. Hammered.
That's fantastic.
Chelsea hammered Barcelona 3-0. So, yeah, these guys can say unfair. But all that matters is that these two teams, the two best teams in England right now, they're playing on Sunday. So I know there's also other games James will be losing to. Was it West Ham this week?
James will be losing to.
So there's other games, but Sunday at 6:30. That's the one everyone cares about. Arsenal, top of the table, 6 points clear. They're taking on Chelsea. The trajectory of these two teams has been fantastic. They're now at the top, and this game's happening. There's also CAF Champions League today. Sundowns are going to Algeria to play MC Elgar. Look, James has quit. He's all
James just walked off the show.
All Liverpool fans.
He doesn't mind. You could talk about anything. You could make fun of his car. You could talk about his relationships. But the minute you mention his football team and you're not at least a little bit, respectful, he has a tantrum and storms away.
Well, Arsenal fans started the year so smug. They spent all this money. They basically got all these players and they are now dog shit. But so much so that they just got no structure. The coach is just clutching at straws. but yeah, that's just a nice dynamic. Another great dynamic this weekend, Gareth, is the Formula One. So huge drama last week. in Las Vegas, the McLarens were disqualified because their skid marks were... No, I'm sure there was something else. It wasn't.
They smash
marks.
Into the sphere by mistake.
No. It was so technical and so comical that I didn't bother reading up about what it was. All I know is that they got disqualified. So Verstappen got maximum points.
Yeah.
Max points Verstappen. And those oaks didn't. So now it makes it so interesting. We've got two races to go, okay? So Lando Norris is still 24 points ahead. He's still very much in the pole position to win this championship. It all looks very good. But the mathematics around it, the Bafana maths, and the potential drama that couldn't see right now is incredible. So in Qatar, they have a sprint race and they have the main race. So if Max wins the sprint race, that'll give him 8 points. Now, let's just say Lando falls out of that. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, 24 points become 16. And now 16 points isn't that much of a gap. Oscar Piastri is also on the same points as Max. So we've got a little interesting triangle happening here. But if McLaren somehow doesn't get it right this weekend, and Max, who's pretty good in Qatar, and his focus is all hell right now, if he can just get it to Abu Dhabi, it's like in match play, if you're getting drilled, you just want to try to get to the last hole.
Right.
If Max can somehow get to Abu Dhabi with, I don't know, a 10-point gap, 10-point deficit, on pure muscle memory, fierce will, determination, and a hatred for losing, it could be one of the greatest comebacks in Formula One ever that we get to see right now. It really is. This isn't me being hyperbolic. This could be one of the greatest stories in F1 because McLaren every week have two cars that are competing, okay? So that makes you shit strong, like impossible to beat. Max is racing his Red Bull, and then Yuki Tsunoda is playing Mario Kart towards the back. And somehow Max Verstappen is competing with the best team and both of them. It's not a fair fight. It's unfair, Gareth, to put the theme of this. It's unfair that Max has to do what he... But what's Max doing? Fuck unfair. He wants to win.
Yeah.
Well. He is an absolute champion. So to bring all this together, the biggest champions in sport right now are the ones that don't use the word unfair. Yeah. They just keep fucking...
Well, trying. Actually, I've got bad news for people who disagree with what you've just said. That is true for life as well.
And also life. Because sport, there is
more,
life.
The more someone says that's unfair, the likelier they are to just be a loser.
I'd say what's also unfair about the Proteas, to touch on them to finish off, it was unfair how we never got to play. It was unfair how we never got to play as many test matches as the other nations.
Yeah.
It was unfair how the IC3 basically blackballed us to become a tier 2 nation. It was unfair that we didn't have access to certain players because our players had to go chase money elsewhere. But what did they do? They rolled up their sleeves. Tibo Bavuma has become, out of nowhere, like test god. He hasn't lost the test match as captain yet.
So that's pretty good.
You're talking about unfair.
Yeah.
What those folks had to get to be in this position right now, and they are just cleaning up.
Now, I know that you're a huge fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Always.
Who also would never claim, that's unfair. In fact, I don't even think he's ever used the word. But, you know, thanks to the wonders of AI, you can now combine the most white girl song in the world with Arnold singing it. Do you want to see that? Have you got it for me, Flex? Let's hit that.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces past and I'm homebound. Staring blankly ahead, just making my way, making the way through the crowd. And I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think
that's enough? That's it's hilarious. There's a guy who does an Arnold impersonation, and he just puts Arnold in all kinds of situations and singing songs and whatever. He's just funny anywhere. Because he's always out of place, right?
Yeah.
I just love it. So I saw that yesterday. I also saw this on the TV. Again, don't watch a lot of TV, but it was on. Walked past it, and I saw there's a judge and a bunch of her co-accused, some of whom are pastors or whatever. We were talking about this earlier. Leanne mentioned Muruti's. But this judge, former high court judge, and these fellow co-accused were all sitting in the dock in court. I noticed something. Tell me if you noticed something about all these accused people in this picture. What do you notice?
Mostly retarded, I would say.
You'd say retarded. Flex, do you notice something? Masks, right.
Well, that would be the retardation.
So this is not taken during March 2020, all right? This is taken now, this week. I find it bizarre. There's the judge sitting in the middle, just behind that microphone.
A couple of them are asleep.
No, just hiding their faces. But the masks.
That oak on the back left having a sleep.
Oh,
The guy in the middle is definitely sleeping.
Okay, yeah, probably. Anyway, I do find this curious. And I thought, well, we should get the finest minds of Ben and Flex this morning because James has stormed out.
James is going to go find a new football team.
Yeah. What is it that makes these people suddenly need masks again? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Shame.
So it's either shame or victimness. So it's like
if I
can show that I'm a victim, you can be lenient on me.
But this is it. I'm trying to get into the heads of people who would put a mask on when they've been found with their hands in the till. Because that's basically what's happened here is it's fraud and corruption and all kinds of other things. So if you are discovered being a bad person, do you also suddenly discover that you need a mask again?
Well, it's like the Shabir Sheikh kind of thing, right?
Yeah, you suddenly can't.
Suddenly very, I'm unwell,
very sick.
I'm sick.
You're going to die soon.
Yeah, I got to get into a wheelchair, put my arm in a sling or some shit.
Yes, yes.
It's
I've
like,
noticed,
please, pity me.
I saw this happen with, I think it was Nosiviwe Mapisangakula. When she was minister, she would dress, you know, to the nines. She'd be wearing big hats and jewelry. And as soon as she ended up in the dock, suddenly it's like jerseys and balaclava, a beret or a what do you call this? A beanie. She's like suddenly she's no makeup. There's something weird about what happens when people are discovered to be bad and they then play on the sympathy card. And I got to ask, sympathy from who? Like, who's dumb enough to give sympathy to people because they're wearing a mask or because they've dressed down? You have to be absolutely stupid to fall for that ploy.
Do you have to be stupid? But, I mean, they
that's
just
like the witch with the apple. And she's caught you three times, but you still go, oh, I really want that apple.
This one will be better.
Yeah.
You know, it's desperation as well, I guess. Everyone's sitting there right now.
That's just
because they haven't got any compelling evidence against the allegations, I guess.
Yeah.
So wear a mask, look downtrodden, fall asleep, maybe poo yourself a bit.
They've run out of options, obviously. Yeah. But I do have to ask about the people who fall for it because they're even dumber and much worse. There's something even worse than that I wanted your opinion on. I don't know anything about this show. I don't know if it's a musical or a movie or whatever. But on my Instagram feed, I am seeing a lot of people taking the piss out of Ariana Grande and that chick from Wicked. You know, they're both on Wicked.
I'm going to be useless for this.
But I don't know anything about this, but I was hoping this morning maybe someone in the audience can help us figure this out. Here is a graphic, a cartoon that was on my Instagram feed. So the left is Ariana Grande. The other one is a girl called Cynthia Erivo. They both play witches in the movie / musical Wicked. But they're doing all these weird press interviews where, first of all, the two of them look terribly thin and emaciated. Not healthy at all. Mm. You know, we often have a go on this show. You can take that picture down. It's putting me off my my train of thought. It's so revolting. We often on this show rightly have a go at fat people. Yeah, because it's disgusting and you should
because we care about them.
Should have pride. Well, that too. But you should have pride in yourself and you should be sorting yourself out and doing what you can to remedy that. Now, as much as that is fair, and I will stand by my attacks on fat people over the years, it is also important that we don't allow people to look like. See if you can find the latest pictures of Ariana Grande and this girl. Because I have to tell you, there is such a thing as too thin.
Of course there is, yeah.
And those women look like they are starving themselves. They do not look healthy. different sunken kind of, eyes, cheekbones protruding.
You know what Leanne said about being malnourished? I think, unfortunately, what you said is what everyone thinks. It's the kid in Somalia with flies all over them.
Yeah.
Malnutrition is such a widespread issue. And the fat people are not getting the right nutrients, but they're getting bulk in something that's useless for satiation and just general pleasure.
Chocolates.
And then the other side of it is just getting nothing in.
Yeah.
Because it's such a – they're both catastrophic.
I just – I really think that – and I don't know what's going on. These interviews that they do are very weird. They – the one – I mean, look at those two. That is – and that's a – that's a
Ariana Grande.
Picture. That is Ariana Grande. Doesn't she look terrible?
She looks like a different person.
She used to be one of the prettiest girls in the world. I can't say that about Cynthia Erivo. She terrifies the fucking hell out of me. She got that nose ring. I mean, she looks like a real life witch.
Wow.
You know?
But Ariana Grande, from going really beautiful, she now looks like a weird Asian wax model of her previous self.
Yeah, there's something going on in Hollywood. I mean, we spoke about the guys the other day. And how they're all going for this plastic surgery that they shouldn't, and
like,
that they
it always sounds like so. Ugh, who are you guys to like comment on women's like appearances, blah blah blah. But that's not healthy.
No, it's terrible.
There's nothing happy
about that.
That's why I brought it up. Exactly. It's just
and
you know
I cannot,
that's not happy.
I cannot tell you a thing about Wicked. I don't know anything about the personalities of either of these women. I remember when Ariana Grande was a singer, pop singer. But it seems to be a major thing at the moment. There are lots of people who watch or are massive fans of this show.
James, where have you gone? Have you just gone for a massive poo?
Oh.
Oh.
Cappuccino for you and Flex.
I'm okay, thanks.
Yeah. How about us? Well, what else are you going to do for the next half hour? Go, yeah. That'll be nice. You don't have anything to do. Go make us cappuccinos, yes.
James, can I just get a black coffee, please? Nice and strong. That's
this
the
is
one.
Great. We're all ordering our...
You know, this year almost came to an end. It's the first time I've been offered coffee as a guest. I know I work here and stuff.
I know. Yeah. Oh, is that where you went?
Jesus. I think James is very active bowels as well.
Well, this is what we've always
I mean,
suspected.
His football team is shit.
I mean,
he might as well have a shit.
Flex, how often do I go into the office and I say, where's James? Where is he always?
Just pinching one off.
Shitting him. Well, I'm more interested in talking about those two thin chicks than I'm talking about James's toilet habits.
But it means that James is living a healthy life. If his bowels are doing the right thing, those chicks aren't pooing as much as James.
No. In fact, I don't think they have pooed for months. I think when they try to poo, it just goes, there's nothing there.
Dust.
Just a little bit. A sprinkling of dust.
The ghost of diets past.
I don't know. Listen, I think what you say about one side has to apply to the other. And too thin and too fat are not good places to be.
Yeah.
Really. Just, you know, for your own sake, forget about trying to please me. Who gives a shit what I think? If you wake up in the morning and you can't get out of bed because you're too enormous and you feel slovenly and lethargic the whole day, or you can't bring yourself to eat 7 leaves of lettuce so that you don't have to look like those two girls, you got to sort that out, man.
Well, maybe it's just, you know, maybe they're method actors. And currently where they are in their life, they have to be emaciated. And that's on their contract.
Shouldn't they just offer them food on the set of that stupid show?
But maybe they're not allowed to. Maybe the contract is. Because you sell your soul in Hollywood. Okay?
Yeah, maybe.
Like you're dedicated to your
slavery.
Craft.
It's slavery.
But that's just it. You know, for all these interviews and stuff, if she looked pretty and wholesome, and nobody would believe whatever this character or this thing that she's selling. So maybe she has to look like that and it's actually contracted.
Slippery Pickle says, I had a dream last night where Ariana Grande ate Lizzo but didn't put on any weight and continued eating fat celebrities. Can anyone interpret that for me? that you had that dream is just so bizarre. Shows you how much these things that we're not even paying attention to get filtered through to us anyway, thanks to the phones and, you know, all the things that are going on around
us. And then they just – that's it. We're so wired on things.
I could not be – wild horses could not drag me to try and find out more about either of those women in Wicked. But it's still in my realm of consciousness, despite my best intentions to ignore it.
I'm not trying to sound ignorant here, but is Wicked a stage play or is it a TV show adapted into a stage play?
Ben, I don't know. Okay. I have no answers.
I'm pretty sure you can go to New York
maybe
and watch
we should
Wicked.
Ask the heir to Barry Ronger. James. Really? Flex. Flex, a big theater guy.
Is he?
Yeah, he loves the ballet, the opera.
Sorry, Flex, didn't know that about you.
Loves a musical. Can you tell us what Wicked is? I knew that was going to be your answer. Please, I don't think Flex gives a shit about Wicked either.
Do we not have a microphone in that booth anymore?
No, there is a mic. We just can't hear it. The audience can.
Okay, brilliant.
I treat people with masks as NPCs, says Slippery Pickle. The speech trees have a dead end. Yeah, it's such a strange thing to me that people would try to hide themselves. And I think that one of the most terrible things about that whole pandemic is it gave people an opportunity to hide and to use the mask as an excuse to hide themselves. Yeah. And I think there were a lot of twisted, sick people who thought, oh, good, the mask. Thank goodness. Now I can disguise myself a little more.
True. Look, some women might not have the best day, makeup day-wise. They might get some blemishes and spots, which they're conscious of.
That's all right, then.
And they wouldn't mind the mask here and there.
I think it's ludicrous now.
It's pretty ludicrous.
Ben, a comment here about Liverpool going through a season of Champions Curse. They will climb up the table again. That's what somebody says in support of James.
Yeah, it's easy to climb the table when you're 16th because then you can climb to 10th. A table for a championship team is the top four rungs. That's the ladder. That's where you want to be.
Two or three people saying that you made a slip there. You actually said Arsenal, but you meant to say Liverpool.
Sorry.
In the sport. Yeah, people pay attention, Ben.
No, it's good. In the most.
Yeah.
And I do mess things up from time to time.
Sure. I saw the George Michael one where this is where Arnold starts singing, but it's George Michael. And then as soon as his face comes up, you see that it is actually Arnold. Have you heard Last Christmas yet in the shops?
Not yet, but
okay,
you know,
Black Friday today.
It's a banger.
Yeah, this is the day.
After Black Friday, we can – because it's like Americans have Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
There's the Black Friday disaster, and then it's my birthday, and then we can go Christmas.
It's your birthday next week.
Next Tuesday.
Fantastic. Any plans? How do you celebrate a birthday now, Ben?
This will be the worst answer, but I can't lie. I'm not a fan of birthdays, to be honest with you. It's such a weird day for me. It's such a weird day for me because I don't know why. I just don't enjoy it. To Hanan's point, maybe somehow my child inside of me has such massive expectations, but a birthday's not the biggest thing. It really isn't. So my inner child is like, yay, birthday. And then my adult's like, yeah, okay, but now what though?
Yeah.
But I do in my own way just enjoy it because it's the time of year. And for me –
well, you are buying yourself these nice Black Friday presents for your –
well, that's work though. But the thing about my birthday, and again, this is going to sound like a shit answer. It's like I like my birthday because it's a time of year when everyone's happy. Because December when it starts, it's great. My birthday is 2nd December. It's the start of everyone being happy. So it's not so much – yeah, it's not so much about me, but the way I'd like to celebrate my birthday, I'm getting to do this year, is to go to the Nedbank Golf Challenge because the tournament's the exact same age as me.
That's cool.
1981, first weekend of December. That's it.
Right.
So I'm getting to do that, and that's very cool. Is very cool. So I'm super happy going Friday and Saturday. Yeah, so I'm doing exactly what I want to do.
That's superb.
At a time where everything is going so well. All my sports teams are doing great. That's already a gift for me. This could actually be the happiest birthday ever.
Oh, well, there, you see? That's just –
it could be.
How perfect. That is, like you were saying, South African sports on top at the moment. Clearly, like, Ben's best week ever is coming.
Gareth, it's all coming together right now. Hey? I'm even starting
like
to
a well-timed fuck.
Yes, that would also be coming
where everyone
together.
Comes together like a well-timed fuck. That's how
I'm
you
even
know.
Making my own kombucha at the moment, and it's good.
I saw – all right. Have you got that picture of Ben's kombucha?
That's what I'm saying. It's all coming together right now.
Just tell me, okay. Just like we're confused about Wicked, I don't know anything about kombucha. The difference is Ben can explain it to us.
Okay, so
what is it? What do you do it for? And how do you make your own?
So my parents were here last week, And my mum gave me this thing, which is basically a kombucha Scooby, whatever it is. And it's like this living organism. It looks like a really big snail, basically. It's not the prettiest thing. You put this at the bottom of a jar. And what you do is you brew up, basically use 4 tea bags. It could be green tea, it could be rooibos tea, whatever. If you keep scrunching your face up like that, it's going to hurt you. Just let me finish.
I am horrified that there's some animal at the bottom of a jar.
Look, it's a living.
You're making this stuff
up. It's a living organism, which that is your active base. Okay, I know there's words that I'm missing here, but this is the active base for kombucha, for the fermentation process.
Is it like a yeast?
Yeah, basically.
Okay, but it's not a snail.
No, it's not a snail. It just looks.
I pictured this thing that you're keeping captive that is. Secreting,
it just looks a bit like
that. Juices, and you milk it every morning for your kombucha.
So this thing is a living thing. It's at the bottom of your jar, okay? So then you brew up, use four tea bags.
Right.
And you're going to make about, I don't know, 300-400 mils as your concentrate. Okay. So you then pour that in, a little bit of apple cider vinegar. You put sugar for the fermentation in, and then put some raw honey in.
Okay.
Look, you can always have your own sort of recipe, but that's
the base. Sure, you
can add
a bit of cinnamon or whatever,
Go nuts. Okay, so now this thing sits for about 10 days. You put like cloth so it can breathe a bit.
Yeah.
Put that on top in this jar.
So the creature can breathe.
Breathe. And for 10 days, the magic happens, okay? So, as I said, so you put this together, and now this thing is there. It's living, and then you pour it into bottles. And it
grew an eye and looked at you.
And then you top it up with soda water. So every day I have, it's kind of like that,
Oh Jesus!
But I've got a much bigger living thing.
Oh my God!
And the cool thing is, Gareth, the one at the bottom then creates one at the top.
What?
So then you got an extra one. I can bring you one next week if you want.
No, it's all right. I'm fine.
So now I've got double the amount of Scoobies in the mix here, and I can just keep replicating it. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. I can go into a production plant in about a month's time.
People are worried about AI wiping us out. I'm worried about what you're growing in your fucking kitchen.
So this is it, okay? So 10 days later, I've now got double Scooby. I take that one out. Now I can give it to someone else.
Did you just give it a name, or is that what it's actually called?
That's what it's called. And then you put soda water with it. So every day of my life, I have a kombucha. I drink kombucha because it's good to have fermented things. And I would spend 25 to 30 rand on that.
Okay.
So every day of my life, Gareth, I'm basically making money.
It does sound revolting that you've got this creature in a jar that you keep captive, that you milk.
But you know when you make your own stuff at home, it's never as good, right? It's a
but
bit
this
cuck.
Is.
It's... There's a lightness to it because there's no extra additives that you get from mass production.
What is it, like a ginger beer or something?
No, I mean, you're fermenting tea, basically, with a bit of sweetness to it. And all the sugar goes out of it in the fermentation process.
Okay.
That's just what it is. It's a fermented drink.
I've seen people drink it. I've seen it available in the shops.
Look, I genuinely like drinking it. I really do. Okay.
And what are the advantages of this stuff?
It's just essentially... predominantly comes back to good gut health.
Pooing.
If you have good gut health.
James, you should get some kombucha. Apparently, it's good for your pooing.
Guys, good gut health is the start of many, many things. That's how you can become a better, prosperous person.
Sorry. Like sourdough, but you can drink it, says Stahlberg. Is that what it is?
We're in that same sort of thing. So if you really appreciate like a good sourdough bread or whatever, this is like the, I don't know, drinkable version.
Carl DeSantos says, Ben is my spirit animal for saying this. Who gives a fuck about birthdays after the age of 16? It's just another day. Don't be so juvenile.
Yeah.
All right. I've got a creature in a jar and it's making me money. It's not a Scooby, it's a Scoby, apparently. That's what people are saying. Yeah.
Fuck, you're always someone, eh? There's always someone. Scoby, Scooby, fuck the living thing that makes kombucha.
All right, very good. Thanks, Ben. Enjoy growing your weird shit in your kitchen.
Guys, I will bring you some next week.
No, it's okay.
Fuck you then. Just being nice.
I'm not drinking some witch's brew.
It's not witch's
you've
brew.
You made with a living creature in your...
It's some healthy.
Parasite that you...
It's not a fuck.
You got from Three Eye Atlas.
How
that
would you made it to adulthood being such a
look
fucking
at that.
Stick?
That thing is alive. It next thing you know, it's going to talk. Is it slimy?
I wouldn't eat the mechanism.
Well,
of course, it's
alive.
It's guys. That's what it is.
It's alive.
I have those, James. Would you like some kombucha? Would I like some? Yeah. See, that's the spirit.
He'll
this,
try.
This is a guy.
Okay. Where's that coffee you promised us? I was talking to it too. Let's go. Jesus, you're a really cuck producer, hey?
So this week I brought mince pies into the office. Granted, it's a niche thing.
Yeah, that's
James,
nice of you.
James said, I'd rather jump out of the window to test how much it would hurt my legs than eat one of those.
That is a horrifically impolite response.
But he looked at me with a little bit of malice as well. Like, how dare you? How dare you?
Why is it? Do you have a particular aversion to mince pies, James?
A lot of people do. It's just fair. I once bought my Mapani worms here, okay? Yes. Source of local protein. James looked at me like I was basically in blackface.
Okay, well.
He looked at me like I was doing something really inappropriate.
Well, Ben, I hate to say it, but you got to learn from this experience too. If the witch keeps bringing you an apple, you got to eventually say, no, there's going to be poison in the fucking apple. Stop offering James anything. Don't buy him a thing. Don't buy him shit.
I'm just trying to simulate.
I know. You're trying to be nice to James. Clearly, being nice to James has delivered only poor results for you.
Gareth, his football team is Liverpool. I mean, we need to throw this guy a bone.
All right.
Or something.
All right.
Or a hug.
James, this is how you treat James. James, go and make me coffee. Get go. I'm gonna do it. Thank you, Ben.
James, just don't worry about coffee. I'll get it.
Thank you, Ben. All right, we've got the amazing Tumi Morake joining us in just a moment, which is very, very exciting. Thank you, Ben. Thank you for not walking in front of me like most people do. It's a professional show, this, I'll tell you. We really keep our shit together. There we go. See, Tumi wants the kombucha. Not that I believe the horoscope, but Sagittarians rule, says Jethro. Oh, are you a Sagittarian? Sagicorn, what the fuck is that? I'm on the cusp. You can't be that, a Sagicorn. You can't invent your own one.
I'm a unicorn.
A unicorn. What month is unicorns? Hello, you sexy thing.
Hey, gorgeous. How are you?
Fuck, it's nice to see you.
Yesterday.
Fills my...
Amazing.
Oh, really? You reckon?
Yes, I love your skin.
I was in the sun quite a lot last weekend. We need that.
That's some vitamin D.
People say, oh, you must protect against the skin cancer and put on lots of factor 5,000 fucking sunblock. But actually, you need a bit of it, you know?
Yes.
I feel better when I've been in the sun. How are you?
I'm fantastic, lactastic. How are you?
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. You see, they passed a, just seeing your hair, they passed a black hair bill in Pennsylvania.
Oh. Mm-hmm. What's a black hair?
They did a thing because, like already racial discrimination is already a law on the books in America. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't be able to discriminate on the basis of race. But there's some chick who's been like, this has been her thing for like 15 years and she's finally got it signed, that braids, afros, weaves, all those things are now... You can't tell someone, for example, that they need to have their hair a certain way, which I thought was always the rule.
I thought so. I think we've not been there.
They have fuck all to do in Pennsylvania, is what
clearly.
I think. Yeah. But I like this. This is nice.
Thanks, friend. It's a wig.
Yeah. It's very nice, though.
Mm. But fun fact, there are some, braiding thingies. What do you call them? Hair pieces.
Yes.
That have to be taken off because apparently they cause cancer. I don't know what these guys, what material.
We were just talking just now about everything causes fucking cancer,
everything
right?
Everything causes cancer. Just live. In fact, that's exciting to
you go. Want that weave, just fucking
it's extreme
go for
sport.
It.
Like, will this give me cancer?
And you know what? The extreme sport of living ultimately results in dying. So enjoy the ride.
But even stress causes cancer, guys.
Everything does. Everything does. The sun that we were just talking about, now, I ain't going to get cancer. If
does
you
the microwave still cause cancer?
Apparently.
Still.
I nuke my food with that microwave all the time. You know what I buy? I bought it this week. I buy those veggies.
Yeah.
And then you just cut the end off the bag and you put them in there and it like steams itself and then you put some butter on top and you're sorted. That is my culinary. By the way, I'm a very skilled cook and chef. You know that.
Yes, I do.
I can cook maybe 5 things, but I do them really well. I promise. What's news?
Wow. I actually have no news. I just did a show now at Empress. That was fun. I just finished shooting a film. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but it's very exciting. It's big. And
you've done some amazing movies already.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, I know you're a proper critic, so if you're saying they were amazing, geez.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm your friend either. I mean, like, successful.
Yes, I have. Right? I have. Do you know I'm in a video game as well?
No.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What? How, like, does this work?
So it's called Relooted, and it's so dope. Like, it's based on all these artifacts from all over Africa that were taken by colonizers.
Yeah, yeah. To the British Museum and so on.
All of those.
Yeah.
So the aim of the game is to steal back all of these artifacts. It's been fun watching some of the
This may finally be the thing that your kids will go, wow, mom is cool.
Yeah.
Because
actually,
they don't care about your comedy career.
Yes,
they're just used to that.
Yes.
They don't care about movies. They're like, ugh.
My son's put it on his wish list because it's on Steam. It's on Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
It's on – there's another thing. Yeah. So it's all over. And so he's put it on his wish list. But also
the
exciting thing about
character?
It – you play with me the whole time. I'm the muscle in the game.
How awesome.
So, yeah.
So you do the...
Yeah. So the cool thing about it as well is it's a huge South African game that's proper making waves all over the world. Like, they got awarded. They've been awarded at the... There was a Sydney festival.
Fantastic.
They got awarded. There was one in the States. Like, they're really, really doing well. I think they won one locally as well at the Fagugez festival, which also is a coming together of all these gamers.
So how do you feel about the character that they've made?
I loved it because her muscles are like made of titanium, and she like
awesome.
Whatever you want, she's there. I remember doing the voiceover, happy to go. And I was like, oh, I like this.
That's very cool. Oh, look at this. Servers with a smile. Have you met my servant, James?
Threatening to
bench press
people. He's wonderful. He makes the best coffee.
You think so?
I got here early for his coffee.
Thanks, James. This is very good.
Also, I'm kissing up to him because I was like, even me, I want to be a female Gareth. Give me a show.
He shat himself last night. He said, send me a screenshot that you'd accepted the calendar invite.
And then declined
for the show.
It.
And then 5 seconds later, you declined, and he was like, oh, what are we going to do? That's why he even said to me this morning, I hope Tumi arrives. I'm like, nah, she's a professional.
I was laughing at him because I'm like, bruh, I asked for the calendar invite purely so I can remember.
So you can decline.
Yeah, so I can decline.
Are you ever mean-spirited and petty like that, that you will make people do things? I mean, for example, I was at a corporate event a couple of weeks ago, and they were telling me about the riders that these artists have.
Yes.
Like, now we're talking about musicians and singers,
yeah,
right? So these are people, sometimes they're quite big names that you've heard of, sometimes you've never heard of them before,
yeah,
but they're famous. Like, I'm not in touch with pop culture like I used to be. But the things these, and the entourages they arrive with,
it's
right?
The entourages for me. Because I do these corporate gigs and I watch them arrive with like 10 people. I'm like, which one do you need? Because I think the biggest entourage I've ever rolled with is my manager, my makeup artist, and my stylist. And even then, I was like, this is an unnecessary flex.
Well, excuse me, Beyonce Murake.
No, but this was a big gig.
For fuck's sake. You had three. This was a big gig. Michelle Obama when she was talking last week about, well, it's very hard to be like me because I've got my glam crew. But she's got 7 people rolling with her the whole time, and she's like, it's very hard. How do you think all ordinary women cope, Michelle?
No, but you have to understand, for me, for my experiences, I already felt bad that I had 3 other people there. You understand?
You should. That is outrageous. You think you are.
But the more people you see me with, the less prepared you must know I am. So for me, next time somebody sees me doing that, don't be going, ooh, fancy. Just go, once again, she's not prepared. Because now I need these people to come and sort me out.
I get a sneaky suspicion that you... I remember those days when you'd have to drive to your own gig and drive home afterwards and fill up with petrol on the way home. You've just done this stellar gig. You've like sold out at the biggest venue. 10,000 people there. Do me.
Then you must humble yourself.
And then you're like... Full 95, please.
You want to talk about what will really humble you?
Yeah.
I remember one of my kids, there was still a baby. I think it was Lesedi.
Yeah.
And he was very sick, and I needed to give them a poo sample. So when we were at the doctor's, Nappy was still just pee, and they were like, okay, as soon as he poops, we need you to put this in a container and bring it. I had a gig the following morning. Yeah. So now I finally got that sample of poo in the morning. And I traveled to my gig with poo in my bag.
Oh, that's revolt.
I was just like, it's baby poo. It's not that bad, but it's still poo. So now I'm at the gig and I'm working with Celeste and Dooley. That was actually one of the first gigs we did together. So at lunchtime, I go, I need to sneak off. I need to go to a lab. So she's like, blood test, what? I'm like, no, I need to go drop off my child's poo. And she's like, like baby shit. I'm like, what, yes.
Are you umtagat?
Yeah, umtagataring with poo. So I had to drop off my kid's shit at the lab. And I was like, this is humbling. This one day I will tell my child, I had to run around with your shit. So don't give me shit. You know what I mean? Because now they're teens, they're preteens, and they're forgetting themselves.
Hey, you should just, you should have kept that song.
Ew. You know, getting it was hard enough.
Never forget the sacrifices your mother's made.
You have to understand, I wasn't one of those moms who checked the nappy because I was like, ugh, now having to collect.
Mm-mm. Listen, I got to tell you, it's quite something when you discover what someone's real strength in the world is.
Right.
James, you should work as a barista.
Nah.
I'm going to give you the next month or so to think very seriously about whether you want to carry on doing this job or whether you'd like to prefer to go and work. I don't know. What's a nice coffee shop? A friend of mine just opened one up in Pretoria. You can go work for him. You're good at this.
No, but it could be a boutique offering. A barista, producer, producer, barista.
Café Le Germe. Come on. Help us come up with something. Help us come up with a name. Remember, people can't hear you.
The barista of the year at Starbucks.
Yeah, we interviewed some dude. Yeah.
Oh, really? Was he beyond making the coffee? Was it because he got the names right? Because they rename us these guys.
They never get the names right. The Starbucks. Never. But that's a thing in America, too, is you go to the Starbucks and you can't wait to see what they write on there. And when you've got a name that isn't English-American, they are bound to fuck it up.
Yes, I've been many things.
Ooh, speaking of names, you know I've got my list of Kak Afrikaans names, right? I've told you about this. You know I have. Like whenever I find a really shitty Afrikaans name, I found
like
one.
Like a combination of how many people in that name?
Please, look at how long this list is. Just look here.
Oh my gosh.
It goes on and
this is
on
like collecting
and on
stamps,
and on.
But for names.
I love it. So if anyone finds them, you know from this show, you got to share them with me. So I found L-O-E-Z-Y-T-H-A. Luzita.
Luzita. So now I'm trying to figure
out
the parents.
How would they write that at Starbucks? How would they write that?
L-U-Z-I-T-A. Luzita.
Luzita.
I think the best time in, just as an aside, at Starbucks where they got a name right, I went with my friend Retini and she wrote Yas Queen.
Yas Queen.
The comments on, they're like, Yas Queen. We're like, yes. Yo, Joe's, say it to me again.
Luzita.
Luzita.
That's a cuck name.
I'm trying to mix. So it sounds to me, because you know they do the whole your father's name, your mother's
smash
name.
Them together.
But now imagine if already your mom's name is a smash, your dad's name is a smash.
Then
you
you're a double smash.
The proper smash. Luzita. Like I'm trying to count how many
Louise
people are in there.
Adriana.
Is it L-U?
Yeah. L-O-U.
No, but if it's L-O-U.
L-O-U-Z-Y-T-A.
So Lizzie is there somewhere. Or Zachariah. Zita. Ta.
Tandy.
Tobel. Buata. No, not Buata. Can't be. That's a surname. Yesterday.
They might have used Buata. How's Grazena? G-R-A. Z
Y-N-A. Grazena.
That's a terrible name.
There's a Zainab in there.
By the way, all of these names, I don't just add a name of people because they make them up.
Yeah.
But these are all, they find them on estate agent boards, letterheads, business cards, advertising. So these are real people's names. You can't have love in your heart for your child if you call them Grazena.
Well, it's an interesting sound, Grazena.
But it's not a nice name for a girl, hey?
You become a hip-hop star.
No, it sounds like the villain in a movie. Grazena. The evil aunt Grazena.
Oh, my gosh, it is giving that. Oh, my gosh.
What are you doing in my attic?
Versus Grazena.
Yeah, it sounds like a villain.
King Kong versus Grazena.
Godzilla, Krasina.
It works. I like it. I like it.
Mm. Oh, my God. All right. So last time you were on the show, we spoke about drinking.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
We did.
It went viral. Yeah.
You had a lot to say.
I don't know. Just South Africans. This is what we do for fun. I've noticed that we don't know how to have fun unless we're drinking.
Yes.
We don't. And I've given up on the idea of giving up because I only drink on weekends. Okay. So, and even then, I don't drink on all weekends. Like last weekend, I didn't drink. I got to tell you, like drinking is, and I thought about this too.
Yeah.
All of our ancestors, right? All of them, no matter where in the world you're from, they couldn't just drink the water.
Yes.
Because sometimes the water was poisoned. Mm. If it was in a well in a town, you didn't know what the.
You didn't have time to boil it
dead
first.
Goat at the bottom of the. You know, you can't trust that. The only thing you can always trust is beer or wine or.
This is so true.
Tea, puza of some kind.
This is true.
And our ancestors, whether you come from here, there, or anywhere, they were mostly drunk.
This is true.
So you've developed through evolution a certain need, you could call it a need, to have a certain amount of alcohol, a certain amount of the time.
Yeah, but it makes sense also. We live in a world where there's water shortages. So... country duty truly is to drink alcohol. You know what I mean? There's also a high rate of diabetes, so you can't be drinking juice.
According to the UN, we're a water-scarce country.
Exactly.
So we must play our part.
So do the right thing. I'm going to give you a dirty look if you come to my house and I offer you a beer and you're like, I don't drink. What do you mean? You know what I mean?
Aren't you worried about the kids? They're not drinking and they're not mating.
Yes, and
they don't know how to socialize, right?
Yeah.
There was this guy has written a book now, telling men to be better, which I think is always a good message. Mm. But he's saying basically, and you're a mom, so I want to hear what you think of this. The young people aren't learning to do that social dance.
Mm.
They're not learning to. Take the risk to walk up to a girl if you're a guy and say, hey, can I get you a drink?
Mm.
Which is, let's face it, most guys are not very creative about their opening line. If they like the look of a girl, they're like, can I buy you a drink? It's pretty much the safest thing they can say, right? Now, if they're not drinking, because a lot of these Gen Zs, they don't want to drink.
Yeah.
And they're very like into their health and all the rest of it. But what are they doing to meet other people?
They're meeting online. What I've noticed with my kids is they have more online friends than they do real life friends. Save for my last born. She just gathers a harem. But
I wonder where that comes
but
from.
But the boys I've found really connect with people online. And then they think they have social anxiety. And I'm like, you don't have social anxiety. You are shy. There's a big difference. So please. But also, guys, this is a generation that I feel like it's our fault they're that way. Because we started drinking our vegetables, then they were born. Now they don't even chew. They're drinking their vegetables. They don't know how to be outside eating soil and putting freaking insects in their mouths. They don't know how to do all of these things that teach you things. So, of course, we're raising a soft generation that doesn't even know how to meet each other.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Now they're probably going to do algorithms to see if they can marry you. Like, I was actually saying this to someone.
ChatGPT everything.
Exactly.
Everything.
And then they start having affairs with ChatGPT.
Mom just told me I shouldn't do this. Is she right?
Isn't there somebody who tried to marry ChatGPT?
And I said to you, look, ChatGPT says you're wrong, Mom. I can imagine you smacking that phone.
I don't even do that. I go, oh, is that what ChatGPT says? Tell ChatGPT to buy you your next PlayStation 6. Tell ChatGPT to make you dinner. Tell ChatGPT to find you a place to stay. Because I am not here to debate with ChatGPT. It already started with Google, where I tell them something and then they go Google it. I say, oh, so Google it says that. Go stay with Google it, okay? Let Google it to guide you in life. I'm not competing with that cuck. I'm sorry. No, there's a line. Teach me stuff, sure, but...
That's so good.
No, it's enough. But I do worry that these kids don't drink because I feel like I'm that bad parent who when my son goes, Mom, I don't know what to do. I'm like, have a shot. Just get some Dutch courage and then approach. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my kids judge me when I'm drinking. They're always like, that's your second glass. I'm like, second glass of what?
Oh, do
and
they,
where
they,
do
they
you
comment?
Enter? Yes. Because I was even saying to them, guys, we're going to have, when you guys turn 18, we're going to have our first beer together. And they're just like,
I don't want to drink beer.
Oh, but they're open to weed. That's another thing. These kids are open to cannabis. And because it's got all these health benefits. So as long as you promise a health benefit. So I know I'm going to get them to drink red wine. Because a glass of red wine, even if they ask ChatGPT, a glass
healthy.
Of red wine is very good for you. Right. For women, it's one glass. For men, it's two glasses. For me, because I want to be on the safe side, I want to earn the side of caution, I go about two bottles. But that's just because the first one comes to kind of check on what's wrong. Then the second glass comes to kind of, you know, solidify and confirm. Then the third one is like ChatGPT, making sure that the first two went to the right places. Then I get to the fourth one and it's going, shit, we just found another problem because, Rape, you're overweight. So then I have to get another bottle because there's four more glasses to deal with whatever else needs to be dealt with in my body. And then I enjoy the third one. The third one is for enjoyment.
And then, the fourth one's to forget.
The fourth one's to forget and to make sure I don't wake up with a hangover.
So, you were in America at the time. You mentioned like the kids will, they'll do what ChatGPT tells them and they'll follow trends.
Yes.
Right? You remember when you were in America, there was that Tide Pod problem where the kids, you know, Tide Pods are like, I suppose like you put them in washing machines and then they have the detergent and
Tide, T-I-D-E.
And the kids were eating the Tide Pods and it became like a trend and it's very poisonous.
Was that the tick?
It was the thing. And just hundreds, if not thousands, of kids all over America. Obviously, the very stupid ones, but but they all started eating the Tide Pods.
Obviously, the stupid ones.
Obviously, who eats fucking washing detergent? So that was happening, but I feel it's worse now because if a trend starts now, they unquestioningly hop on board.
That's true.
Like the faith in the common wisdom is way too high. You know, we need more skeptics. Do you remember how there was always an old lady in the village who would, the minute something started, she'd go, I don't know about this thing.
I must say, I find that
we need more of those people.
I find that with my firstborn, because, you know, the family staunch Catholic on his father's side of the family. But you know, the questions he asks.
Oh, really?
I'm like, yes, can we go to a cathedral? I just want to sit and have you interview these guys because I can't even answer those questions.
Oh, wow.
And I love it. Like, he questions. he has an issue with blind faith.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that because even when I was following my calling and going into this whole Sangoma vibe, he was same thing. He analyzes everything. And he's the one child I feel like should drink as an adult because it's too many things happening in here.
It's too busy.
It's way busy in there, but it's good busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the only thing, you know, I was actually talking to a friend of mine and her daughter was there at the same time and she started talking about a very similar thing. She's, you know, questioning these people who are just blindly faithful and she doesn't buy it. And, you know, most of the family are quite religious.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really get to talk about these things. And the only thing I said to her was just don't destroy the foundations.
Yes.
And I say this as someone who's always just destroyed the foundations, right? Like maybe that's why I'm the right person to say it to her because I see a lot of people questioning stuff and I think that's good.
Yeah.
You should always go back to first principles.
Yeah.
Like why do you believe the things you believe in? Why is that so? How do you know this? How do you actually know that that's true?
I always say to him, you know, the reason we have so many religions and they end up clashing is because we don't know what the function of that religion is when you look at when it started and all of that. But I feel like they all had a function in whatever era they started and whatever society they started. So I always say to them, like, have faith. I just want what I would wish for you is that you believe in a higher being so that you think of something outside of just yourself.
Excellent.
And
can't
also
better that.
I'm not going to tell you who to believe in or what to believe in, but your respect for humanity matters. Your openness to the fact that there's something different from whatever you think or believe is important. So it's not just about tolerance. I don't want you to tolerate other religions. No. I need you to live in
harmony.
Tandem and harmony with other religions because, man, I feel like every faith has something it fulfills for you that you need. And even going to church, for example, I go there because when you go to church and you're praying with other people, it's just, again, that sense of community, that sense of coming together and congregating together, do that. So I don't care where you do it, but do that, connect. Because also with their shyness, I like that when they go to Sunday school, I'm grateful they're speaking to real life human beings. There's no risk of you chatting to a bot. You're actually speaking to a real life human being. Yeah. Because there was a time I was also worried about them speaking to people online, because I'm like, there must be some freak, sick, pedophile person.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, actually, speak to these people. I want to hear the conversation. But don't put it in your
you're
headphones.
Catholic?
I want to know. No.
Are you not?
My kids are Catholic. Their dad is Catholic. So I agreed to raise them Catholic.
But I heard you are running for Archbishop of Canterbury. Is that true?
Darling, it is about time.
They've got a woman. So for the first time ever,
wow,
the Archbishop of Canterbury is a woman.
That is so
And
dope.
She, I think she's a lesbian too.
Oh, okay. That's
a lot.
There.
It's a lot. Henry VIII.
Guys, baby steps.
Henry VIII, who started the Anglican Church because he wanted to fuck another woman. Let's not forget, you know, that the English Church is founded on the family values of a not particularly good guy. He'd be rolling in his grave. I'm all in favor. I do think we've gone past the era of like window dressing and ticking boxes. But I do think that it's an amazing thing that we live in a world now where kind of whatever you believe is fine. And I think that's better. I don't think people should be forced to believe anything. I've moderated on religion in a big way, hey.
As long as you're not hurting people.
Yeah, I've moderated in a big way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not by any means a religious person, but I used to be so intolerant. You mentioned tolerate just now, and I certainly didn't live in harmony. In fact, I took great pleasure in like clubbing to death anyone's mildly held notions that there was something going on in the universe they couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just an effect of getting older.
I know. You know, the only gripe I have is when people go there to run away from taking responsibility for their own lives. That's when I have a gripe with
the Rakhadis.
The Rakhadis, the Angels, where they live there. They put more energy and presence into that than their own families. And when something goes wrong, it's not ownership. It's the devil. And then it's, I don't know, everything's outside of themselves.
Yeah.
No, God
will
fix
it. There's no internal locus of responsibility.
Yes. I don't want that. I think there is that danger. That's another thing that's driven me to drink.
What, other people not taking responsibility?
No, when you've been in those spaces where you're trying to, where you go to an elder and you really, you need them. You need them to talk to you. And they're sending you to church. And they're telling you to pray more about it. Of course, I prayed about it, but I would like to hear somebody who has lived experience be there for me. Don't just send me to Jehovah. He has a lot on his plate. You don't know how many people
are building universes.
Sending him, please call me every day. So I'm coming to you as my elder. And that's been disappointing. So
well,
I don't know.
You know, everybody thinks that they should be a mentor and they should be dispensing advice, but very few people are actually good at it.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes you don't need to give advice. If you literally go, I've been through this, this was my experience, that's enough. You don't have to tell me what to do, but at least if I go, okay, this is normal, people go through this, then it helps me, you know?
I just don't, I'm allergic to hypocrisy.
Yes!
So you were talking, I know you are. That's definitely one of the reasons we get along so well. But you were saying earlier those you know, Rakhadis, they wear the hats and they dress up.
Yeah.
And this, by the way, is across the world in almost every culture. They're those ladies who they do the right thing and they want everyone to know that they're upstanding citizens and that they are morally upright.
Oh.
But the things they say about other people. See, that's
they
the kind
can break you.
And that's the kind of hypocrisy I really don't like, is the moment people get a little self-righteous.
Yes.
And they forget that they live in a glass house and they start throwing stones at everyone else. I don't like it in politics. I don't like it in society. I don't like it in families.
Yeah.
And let's face it. I mean, you're back from America, but Thanksgiving is a big thing there, right?
Oh, yes. I missed Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is actually, I mean, I think it's something we could consider in this country. We've got enough public holidays, so I don't think we need any more.
But also, maybe, it's so specific.
You know, maybe we could make one of those days a day where people just spend 2 seconds reflecting on what they're grateful for, because that's what Thanksgiving is meant to be. Forget about all the history.
Maybe we should
about
do that.
The pilgrims and the, you know.
Maybe we should do that with the Day of Reconciliation. Maybe that one of the aims of day.
Because obviously we spend quite a lot of time in this country thinking about our history and how we come from this very fractured past and there's so much pain and there's so many people who were trying to inflict pain on other people. And, you know, we can go into that, but eventually you do have to move forward.
Yeah.
And the best way to move forward from anything, you were talking about like asking elders for advice. The people who are cleverer than me, when I've asked them, they say the best way to move forward from anything is to focus on what's next.
Yeah.
And to be grateful for what you do have.
Yeah.
And I just think that there's something beautiful about the idea of Thanksgiving as something that you do as a ritual. Mm. Because we don't do it enough.
You know, we
don't. See people with like attitude of gratitude in their profile picture with like unicorns and rainbows and shit. But you know deep down they're a mean person, right? And I do think you need to spend a couple of minutes every day just going, you know what, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I am surrounded by people who I love and who love me. I have an artistic ability, a craft, a skill. I can add value at the workplace. I whatever it is that you can and be grateful for.
Also, because it's so easy to be negative as a South African. I wish we could have a day where we go, okay, this is what we're getting right. Because I think that'll give us the energy to push forward even more.
And thanks to retrovirals, also HIV, you know, negative instead of positive.
Right, right. Like, please. Where's HIV? The PR for that person.
It's just gone.
Ever since COVID, whoever was doing PR for AIDS were like, I get the
give
challenge.
Up. They've
I'm
given
done.
Up.
I think also in this country, we're also like, shoo, it's not us leading the pack anymore. Because remember during COVID, it was, I think it was Amsterdam. There was some other country that had a new strain of HIV. We're like,
shit.
You guys are HIV so much, you even had time to make a new strain.
Yeah,
so
it's probably Netherlands. Those,
but also I
people.
Think in terms of education in this country, when it comes to that, is incredible. I love how knowledgeable people are. That's like super dope. That means we're very aware of our lives. And it's very rare now that I hear of somebody dying of AIDS, and not because it's being hidden, but genuinely because it's not happening at the same level it used to happen, because people are taking care of themselves.
Apparently, the Israelis are working on something that is a complete cure. And I don't know whether it's been, you know, they've released any new information since I last read about it, but wouldn't that be something?
I don't know. I'm liking that it scares the Los Voroses to kind of into protecting themselves.
What you mean? You're going to have people behaving badly?
I'm like, but baby, you can always take the pill. Let's just do it.
No!
No. Condomize.
No! There's a comic who once said, what's the difference between an STD and a baby? They said, you can't run an STD in a bath.
Oh, my God.
So I mean,
oh,
like,
my God. That will be in. This will be in Kumi's next show on why abortion is great.
Those pro-choice people will be like, coming after me hard. Anyway, hey, Wena, going back to drinking, have you been following the commission? Are you following the commission?
Everyone is talking about it. Ben said that the caddy on the golf course was watching this.
Kat
Matlala.
Initially, I didn't want to watch.
Okay, so give me some of the tea.
Okay, first of all, I just have to share my opinion on these things. So as a country, don't watch that shit if you know you get emotional about what's happening in the country in terms of corruption. Because for me, all this commission is, you know, when you know your man is cheating, you know he's cheating.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know maybe who he's cheating with. But now you're sitting through all the details of what he did with these people. So you're tormenting yourself.
Right.
Don't listen if you don't want to know the details of it. Just know they are dirty. They did some dirty shit. They need to own it. When you go in there, there are some things that'll... Anyway. So I am enjoying. Firstly, we have a drinking game for everyone who's. I was not awake. You know how drunk we get over. I was not awake.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I was there, but
they've
anyway,
obviously been coached.
They have, but
by legal.
Badly. Yeah, but whoever coached them is probably watching, going, why did I?
Did you see Brown Mokgotsi? First and foremost, before we get to Kat Matlala. All right. So I only saw a little bit of this. I really haven't been watching a lot of it, not because I'll get emotional, but because. It's already happened. They've taken their money. We're never going to get it back. It's like, I'm not that into politics. That.
Hey, wasn't there a time when Cupcake anymore? Was like, if we find and prove that you were involved in corruption where you took money, you must pay that money back. We're not just putting you in jail.
Please,
you must pay it back.
He doesn't mean it.
But anyway, let me tell you my highlights, because I've been listening on radio more than watching because I've got shit to do.
Yeah.
And I've got two standout moments that are just my favorites, honestly. Kat Matlala, right at the top, when he insisted on being called honorable. And this chick is like, bruh, well, I want to establish whether you are involved in this thing, whether you had knowledge. And so he kept just going, honorable. I'm like, friend, everything you're saying is not honorable. Just be Kat. Take it as it is. So that cracked me up. They say, so that's what killed me about him. I was just like, yeah. And then when he said, I was not involved in the drug. What did he say? What are they called? Drug cartels. I'm not involved in drugs. Yeah, my friends are involved, but I don't judge. Yeah, my friends sell drugs. I don't judge.
Said like a proper crook.
I'm like, listen to yourself. Yeah. You are saying you are not involved in any drug cartels. Your friends sell drugs, but you don't judge.
Yeah.
You are basically admitting to knowing that this is happening.
Sure.
And in your position, just sitting back and going, my friend, I don't judge. It's your side hustle. The fuck is wrong with you? You can't say like, yeah, okay, you are right, Matlala.
Isn't it wild? Like you and I, we have been working in this business for like 25 years or whatever. Mm. We've never made Kat Matlala or Brown Mohotsi money. No. Because, and they're not cleverer than us. You can tell from the hearings, right? Don't you feel like a loser? Because these people have made more money than you. They've done half, not even half. They've done a hundredth of the work.
I know.
They've made all this cash, and they're fucking stupid.
It's how I used to feel about the girls who go to Dubai. I'm like, do you know how many hours I have to spend at work to make what you make just from one pooping on your stomach? Like, anyway, that used to be me. My other favorite, just last one.
Oh, yeah.
General Sibiya.
Oh, yes.
Did you pass or did you fail? Highlight. Did you pass or you? Well, it's not a pass or a fail. It's not a matter of, you know, we don't. It's not a compare. It's not about pass or fail. General CB, did you pass or did you fail? Like I said, we don't use the terminology of a pass or a fail.
And you already know he failed.
But let's just say it wasn't positive.
These people are not the best. We are not bringing our best people.
That wasn't positive.
Imagine your child getting home from school and you say, well, did you pass or fail? Did you get your matric? Did you? They go, well, we don't like to use pass or fail. But let's just say it wasn't positive.
Let's just say I applied at Starbucks.
Oh, fuck, I love this country. I do love it. And I hate the fact that there are all these crooks and they've stolen all this money. But I do, the entertainment value.
That's too much.
That's where they provide a little bit of value for money. Let's be fair.
I love. There was also a point where this woman from the DA was asking. So you guys are the stand-ins. There's two of you. You're standing in for the, I think it was the Minister of Police. And she says, walk me through your day. No, we have ad hoc meetings with the other members of. She goes, okay, so just walk me through the day. What happens? How do you get to these meetings? we have to await, of course, direction from. I'm like, just say you're getting paid to go and sit in an office and do fuck all. Because
so they do nothing.
No, this guy literally was saying we do fuck all. Like, My guy, you can't even say what you do on an average day. You get to the office, you sit on your computer, you catch up, even say
and
catch up with emails.
These are guys.
These are important people getting paid 10 times what we pay, get paid. And this guy says, can't even tell you in a day. At least say you go to lunch at 12 or you go to lunch at 4 because you were so busy on your emails. You know, I'm waiting for a directive from my guy. My guy. Really? No, we are assigned. I'm like, my guy, can you be assigned to go home and just, oh my God, no, I can't. But
that's so great. Maybe I should watch this.
You should. It gets.
If you watch it and you enjoy it.
No, I do. Like, I was saying to someone, the innocent guys are so boring now. I don't care about that.
You only want the guilty ones.
The minute I hear, I'm like, that one, I want that one. It's not a, yeah, well, I was there, but I was not aware. I'm like, no, my guy, you were there. Now, unless you were in another room. No, we went together. And
so
I knew.
What I got was that Kat Matlala is a little bit pissed off. He had to keep giving money to Becky Kelly.
Because Becky then didn't do anything. We're bribing you to do something. You're just enjoying the bribe. Yeah. You've decided it's a gift.
It's like when someone gets an influencer to, like, they give them a free product, right? And then the influencer doesn't
shame. I feel bad for the people who have sent me stuff and they want me to post. And I'm like, unless we agreed, I'm not posting it. Thank you for the gift. But you know what Becky reminded me of? You know when we all get into trouble as friends? And then we're like, okay, guys, we all have to agree. We went there, we didn't do anything, and we don't know what happened to the cake. And then Becky goes, we enjoyed the cake. The cake arrived at 5, and then I was given a quarter of a portion. Nobody told me this is a stolen cake, so I was enjoying the cake. Nobody, now they're saying, no, we mustn't say no, but the cake was there to be enjoyed. Why let the cake go stale? We were there. Who was there? It wasn't police, CCs, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I love that guy. Have you found respect for him? Because so he's like, great. I did it. This is true. I will not deny. No, that guy. Yeah, he gave me. Why? Is he not supposed to give me? Why would you refuse to stay in a penthouse? It's nice.
It's nice.
I enjoyed.
You. He's like, what's wrong with you people who don't take bribes?
Because it's like, take the thing. It doesn't mean you have to do anything. There's no receipts. They can't come and publicly shame you. I gave him a bribe and he did nothing. Speaking of bribes, it's Black Friday. I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
I just want to ask the traffic cops. It's Black Friday. Can we just kind of coke? Let's not a coke. Like, give us a discount. Because sometimes the bribes are high. It's Black Friday.
It's getting very expensive.
Give me chocolate, man. It doesn't have to be pinkies. Just the chocolate is Black Friday. Be nice.
So you want to see Metro Police specials from
Black Friday? Yes, I want to see Metro Police specials.
This is a gap in the market I have not thought of. And if you want to, generate some goodwill as the Metro Police, which you need, frankly, especially after G20, where you ruined all of our traffic behavior.
Yesterday.
So maybe this is a very good idea. Yeah. Dumi Morake has come up with the best plan.
Yes.
For the Metro Police, give us Black Friday specials.
Because they ignored my first suggestion before.
Which was that?
Which was standardize the price. Because you guys are charging everything from 1.5 to just 100. Can we agree on a standard price so that I know what I'm in for? Because now I'm like, am I going to have to e-wallet you? Like, it's a lot.
And they ignored you.
No, they ignored me. No, it was still very random. At some point, I was like, arrest me. And they went, go. I was like, arrest me once because I know.
But don't you sometimes get away with it because they recognize you?
No, that's when you get more cack.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's when you get more cack. There's no, unless they have a crush on you because there's one who's like, hey, it's you. Don't you want to come and drink tea? I want to drink tea with you. I'm like, let's drink tea. But I'm police, give me your phone number.
And you'll never call.
Never. Although sometimes I'm like, maybe. Maybe I can get him to go and erase my other fines.
Yeah, you never know. Could be worthwhile.
But I don't want to be part of the problem, to be honest. I'm just joking, guys. I don't want to be a part of the problem.
Hey, it's a reality. And
I mean,
that's why we don't live in Australia.
Yeah, what happens in Australia, my
friend? You only follow the rules.
Really? Yeah. Oh, yes, you're right. I was in Pathfontein. And I remember trying to cross. Yeah, I mean, it may as well.
So many South Africans. Yeah.
So I was crossing the road, and there's no cars. Yes, the robot is red for the pedestrians, but people are still stopped. Mm. So I'm trying to go, and this chick is like, no, wait. I'm like, friend, there's literally no car. Yeah, but if you cross, you're breaking the law. It's littering. I'm like,
they follow every fucking rule. Everyone.
It's wild. It's wild. I like Australia, though. I won't lie.
What do you like about it?
I enjoyed it. I don't know. When you leave the country and you get to climate that feels like yours, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it's probably the only country that's not on the continent where I've actually enjoyed the meat.
Mm.
But I suppose it was kangaroo. Maybe that's why.
Oh, did you have kangaroo?
I had kangaroo.
Is it good?
I felt like I was betraying Skippy. Remember Skippy?
Yeah, Skippy, bush kangaroo.
I felt bad. But it's incredible.
Is it
so
as nice
yummy.
As beef?
It's, oh my gosh, yes, but maybe even more juicy.
Mm.
And you know they do that because they're trying to reduce the carbon footprint because cows are so cuck for the environment because their farts are lethal.
Ah, please, man.
No, their farts are lethal.
You're never going to stop me. They could fart the place. The whole country could fucking stink. And I'd still eat fucking meat. I do not care about your cow farts.
The only reason I wouldn't live there is because now if I have to slaughter for the ancestors and I give them a kangaroo,
they're going
to be like, oh,
can you imagine?
What? No. Which one is this one? What did we do to you? Why do you hate us
Why
so
did you
much?
Bring us this Why monster? this evolutionary monster. This thing that doesn't, it jumps. It's got a long tail. It's fucking tiny.
You wake up and your bed is jumping because they're so mad. They're like, oh, you want to give us
child in the pouch. The ancestors will never talk to you again. They will ignore you.
We're out.
What? You couldn't get a decent animal. You had to make one up. Did you buy this from? Did you buy it from God's leftover shop? What the hell is this?
I was even saying to my kids recently because, you know, I've become allergic to certain things. You turn 40, you become allergic to stupid things. So I was
like
saying
what?
To them, by the time they are ancestors, I think trying to make offerings for them is going to be a bitch because it's going to have to be gluten-free drinks.
Yeah.
And it's going to have to be ethically sourced. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just, here's a cow, here's a alcohol, here's a traditional beer. No. It's going to have to be.
In the old days, they would have made that traditional beer and they'd thrown a lizard in or whatever the fuck they could find
now
lying
they're going to be patlaring with kombucha. Here's kombucha.
For sure. Like, did you hear that disgusting shit Ben's growing in his kitchen?
I heard. That's
into
good
kombucha.
Stuff. Yeah. It is so good. Like, as we were speaking, I was like, that's what I need to get back to because my body's wreaking havoc. Like, hormones are wreaking havoc with my body. And, like, I'm big 1 minute, small the next big. Now my body's like, pick a size, bitch. So I feel like if I go back to kombucha and I start to fix my intestinal flora, it'll make everything else better.
Yeah.
Even for your mental health, guys.
Yeah.
There are some of you who know sometimes the screw just chepuras and then, you know.
Yeah,
the cassette gets stuck in the radio there. Yeah. Kombucha, if you're eating a lot of, like, white bread and stuff, take kombucha. You'll thank me later. Start cleaning out what's happening in your stomach. You literally even mentally start feeling better because you are, I don't know what it is, but it's almost like your gut isn't pulling the rest of you down, if that makes sense.
Okay, well, then I'll send Ben an apology after the show, and I'll say, yeah, I'll try your
yeah,
kombucha.
With the mother. Because when I buy kombucha, if I can see a little bit of the mother at the bottom, then I'm like, yeah, that's the one.
That thing that grows.
Yes.
The creature.
That's good stuff, bro. That is such good stuff.
The creature. That thing. That
In
thing.
Fact.
He says it separates into two.
Yeah.
And then he takes and he makes more.
We should write a sci-fi movie about that. That thing becomes a big thing and then
and
starts
takes over
the
country.
Yeah. But that's also a good way to come at the vegans.
And then also gets money from Kat McClellan.
That's honorable. And honorable. Honorable. Because if you think about it, vegans –
Yeah, we're not vegans. You say you don't eat living things. The kombucha that you're drinking every day. Drinking a living thing.
You see, until I saw the pictures, the way he described it, I thought it was a thing that kind of it had eyes.
And it's good.
And it lay at the bottom of the dish and he was keeping it captive against its will to make more.
It was like Gargamel trapping the Smurfs and just getting their blue essence out of them.
You know what I want? I want this badly is I want a set of Dumi Morake stickers on my WhatsApp of all your facial expressions. Because sometimes when you do things, like when you were saying you were crossing the road and that chick said, hold on, that I want that as like a either a gift or a sticker or something. Because there's so many times where I can't do that. I don't look, it's just not real.
Mm.
With you, it's so fucking natural.
No,
and
bruh.
I just want to say to people, that's what I'm saying.
Actually, I've seen a few people have gifts of me and it cracks me up and also offends me at the same time.
Of course.
Like, am I freaking joke to you? I just thinking about right now?
Anything to plug? Because we're almost at the end of this. You said you just finished a show at Empress.
I do want to ask. I know South Africans go to Bali a lot. Can somebody please bring me back Luwak coffee?
Luwak, like, that's the one with the civet cat shits.
Yeah. This is not cat shit, man. It's from the Luwak. What's wrong with you?
Why don't we ask
But also, it's very special.
Why don't we ask Barista James?
Yeah, Barista, hook me up.
Barista James.
Do the people in general know how the Luwak coffee works?
No. How does it work?
So, there's this Luwak, ne? It's in the jungle, ne? And then when it poops, these guys come in, they steal the Luwak's poop, and then they remove all of the poop and they take out all the coffee beans because the Luwak's chow coffee beans, but they literally, their poop kind of sucks out all the bitterness from it. Or maybe it's the Luwak stomach. I don't know. So when they get that poop, it's coffee, but without that bite. It's incredible. It tastes so good. Like, I think that made me a coffee person.
All, can you imagine how confused these poor
I know, it's like,
are.
I know, I just
pooped. I just shat.
I just shat. And
it's gone.
It's like a Leon Schuster movie. You know that gag he loves where the guy's pooping in the thing and then the kids steal the poop and the guy's like, huh? That's the Luwak. All the Luwak are like,
they're shitting themselves and then they don't know what to do.
They're shitting themselves.
Literally.
And then they have a support group
and then you
where everybody's trying to
understand. You will drink that coffee that has been through their digestive tract.
It is so good. On a for real, it
I hope
is
they wash
so
it
good.
Properly, though.
No, but they do. I mean, maybe it's giving somebody missed a spot.
So that's your favorite coffee?
That's my favorite
coffee. Is it very expensive?
Just plug me. Yes.
Okay, so if there are any billionaires going to Bali anytime soon.
Dubai princesses.
Yeah, anybody, really. She's not even going to be fussy. If she gets a coffee, she'll be your friend.
And my plug is, yes, we have a show at, I think it's Empress Palace with Skumba and a few other comedians. And that's happening on the 13th of December. That's going to be fun. If you haven't seen me do comedy in a minute, come and
that's
hang
fantastic.
Out.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And don't forget, she's now in a game called Reloot.
Relooted.
Relooted.
Yes. Please check it out on Steam, on Xbox, on the other one that I can't remember. Just if it sells games, I'm there.
You've done it all.
I truly feel like I have.
And she has to put up with these Gen Z children.
Bruh.
See, you even said that like
hey,
that.
Blood.
You speak skr skr.
Yes, remember I went and translated for you time Amos, you played Amos, that guy. Yeah. No, me, I'm there. I don't have a choice. Otherwise, they'll be insulting me and I won't know. The only thing I'm not getting right yet is when they type in tongues, which my daughter does to me all the time.
Like what?
They type in tongues. I call it tongues because she will send me a message, but there'll be like 8 consonants, no spaces, no vowels, nothing. And that's a sentence. And then I go, what the hell does that mean? She goes, ugh, mom, it means maybe tomorrow we can go and do this. I'm like, bitch, I need words.
Yeah.
I need commas and full stops.
No. We've all agreed. Hey, guys, you just because you're a new generation doesn't mean you can come up with a whole new. Like, humans have tried this. Language is a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not fuck it up.
We're going back to telegrams and Morse code. It's only a matter of time until they,
They're already using more. Emoticons.
The emojis, emojis. I love it. I love it. Eggplant plus peach equals droplets.
All Ah, I love seeing you. Thank you.
It's always good to see you, Gareth.
And what, any plans for the December holidays?
I'll be back in the States freezing my ass off.
Oh, no.
Doing Christmas with the fam. So that's going to be fun. Because last year they were here and it's very expensive to bring them here. So we'll all be in a clutter. It's going to be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but then you'll have a snowy white Christmas.
See, the thing about Atlanta is it's like Joburg, where you're like, give me that cold, it's cold, give me a gift, and if you're lucky, if you get snow, mostly you get ice.
Ugh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll miss you.
But you are
still here on the 13th for that show.
Yes.
Make sure you find out more by checking it out. Google it. Follow Dumi's social media. We'll put all the links in the description below. And have an awesome weekend, everybody.
Bye.
December is next.